Blog Talk Radio.
We'll talk about it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, October the 4th, 2013, and this is The Last Word. And with all those explosions in the background,
I wasn't quite sure if that was V for Vendetta Day or Caddyshack there, Mike. I think the tragedy in America is a little bit of both, right?
This is The Last Word. I'm Michael Lawson with Thomas Fortenberry. You know, I almost didn't make it because I went away to... We're broadcasting, if you want to know, from Charlotte, beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. The sun is out.
The Queen City.
The Queen City. My deck is finished, except for the screen. It's big, 24 by 24. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful deck. And I got sick. Supposed to go away to, we did go away last weekend to Hilton Head. My nose was, my throat was sore. I was sick the whole time, couldn't go out to the beach at all. Then we went to visit her mother in Charleston. There I got worse, came over here. This is the best day in almost 5 days I've had. I'm a little nasal still, but it was worse. I could not have done this yesterday. But.
Well, at least you're up and functioning better than the government. Talk about these fools yet?
Oh, hey, yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm so sick. That you know, you ever hear Stuart Varney?
Who is Stuart?
Stuart Varney. He's a stooge on the Fox News.
Oh, well, that's why I haven't heard of him. Sorry.
Oh, is that
yeah, Fox doesn't come on any of my stations. I only get real news.
You get the news.
No, I get fact-based news.
You get fact-based news.
Yeah, not clown-based. Fact-based.
Fact-based news, not clown-based. Well, anyway, Stuart Varney, this moo-moo, he says that he don't care. If he's like the financial guru over there. He's English.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a whack-a-mole, one of those whack-a-moles.
What all these guys, though?
And
Unfortunately. These Republican voters have shot themselves in the foot because... you know, whether or not they were duped, but listening to all of these endless ads and push campaigns from the oil baron brothers, they have elected in a whole little cadre. These are what they call Tea Partiers, but this made-up party of obstructionists. All they are is they're there to stop the New Deal, stop the Great Society, and repeal the future.
According to them, we never had a great society.
You know, their stated plan, they've been saying this for a long time, but people weren't listening to them. They were like, whatever, let's just get them in there. Get them in office because they sound fiery. Ooh. But they've been saying they were going to, you know, repeal everything Lyndon Johnson did. They were going to repeal everything that Roosevelt had passed. All of these labor protections, all the women's protections, all of the socialist agenda that is things like social security. Got social right in there. I mean, that's
That's very social.
But see, they've been trying to repeal this stuff for 50 years, but they finally got people elected in. And now, guess what? Like magic, they just turned the lights off, walked out of government. And they're all rejoicing on TV about how they're not going to reopen it. They don't care.
Well, yeah, but you see, we've talked about Stuart Bard. Let me give a little hint of him.
All right.
No,
Now, wait a minute. More than the private sector? I worked in federal government. Are you joking me?
Yeah.
The big thing about the federal government, when I worked in it, before it was the FERS, when it was the civil service retirement system,
mm-hmm.
was the retirement. That's what you worked for. You worked for your retirement. You didn't work for your pay because you had jack.
Yeah. I mean,
so the thing is that this is so ludicrous. This man probably makes more than the first 5 federal workers that you can put there. 5, 10 federal workers.
Yeah. Look,
I mean, this is that you're talking about guys walking around. Why do you think health care is going to work? It's not single payer, which we need, but these freaking CEOs have to not spend if they don't spend. 80% of the premium on your health, they got to give it back to you. That's why I got a $99 check from them, $99.92, last month.
Yeah.
It was July.
But the thing is, just, you know, your money.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
But look, these guys, who was the guy, you were on Bakay, maybe you didn't hear it, but who was that full Tea Partier?
They're all full Tea Partiers.
But he made a statement that they were asking him about, well, aren't you going to restart it? And what if we get to the debt ceiling and everything really goes south and the whole economy tanks and all this? And he said, literally, he said, well, I don't care because I'm sick of paying for, poor Africans overseas. I'm sick of paying for all these undemocratic countries around the world. And he said, back home, I'm sick of all the freeloaders. And then he used this term.
Freeloaders.
Those Alabama watermelon welfare queens. Tax dollars don't have to go from. Let me see if I can look it up online real quick. But these guys, see, that's the thing that people aren't listening to. It's not that they dislike Obamacare and they're somehow trying to force concessions and all that, which, by the way, you can't do. It's a law already passed. If you want to change the law, change the law. But anyway, they're shutting down the entire economy because, and they've stated, they do not have the votes to repeal everything from Social Security to welfare to Obamacare.
And they never will.
Yes.
They're sealing that deal right now.
But look, that is why. They are hoping that they will wreck the entire economy and they will all go away by default. That's what their hope is.
But their jobs will go away too.
Well, I hope this is
because crazy. Why do we need 535 members? Why don't we have half that? Have one person represent each state. Why don't we have 50?
Yeah.
I mean, why do we need 535? That's why the Constitution was written so each person can
be
represented. Now, you were talking about something about a little while ago about the 18%. Tell us.
So there was this, it's a really nice little graphic. They've got a, let me look it back up. They've got a map. Anybody wants to go look at it?
Yeah, tell us. What was it?
Right now, it happens to be on the website, liberalconversion.com that I'm looking at, but you can find it anywhere online. And it shows all the GOP members who have been voting for the shutdown and who signed that letter to Boehner, you know, that whole letter.
That whole letter.
All of them combined, if you take all of their districts they represent.
All the districts.
All their districts. Entire states like
right.
Kansas, Wyoming,
right.
You know, Montana.
Right.
But even their individual
Alabama,
districts.
Alabama, South Carolina.
Districts out of everywhere, yes. All of them out. They've got
you mean Mississippi?
Yeah.
You mean, let's see.
But if you combine Georgia. All of their districts,
right.
They barely get to 18% of the population of the country.
Wait a minute. They have been telling us that the American people want this.
Right.
18% is not
all
the American people.
Right.
They said the American people are against this.
This is why I think it's great. Look, Peter King, you know, he's a regular GOP.
Right.
He's been around forever. But anyway, you know the guy, especially because he's out in New York. But he has even been going. He said this revolt, and I think that's a good word, revolting. It is revolting. But he said all these Ted Cruz guys are, he said they're pathetic. They have no end in sight. They don't know what they're doing. He said they can't win. And he said he was never going to forgive Ted Cruz because he's just destroyed the credibility of the Republican Party. And he said, quote, this is a fool's errand.
Well,
there
yes.
is no end in
the thing is, this is nothing about getting rid of a constitutional law. And it takes two-thirds of the votes in Congress to do that.
But again, you're talking about the constitutional process. See, you know, to repeat ourselves, this is just Education 101. The House
Civics
writes a law.
Right.
They send it to the Senate. The Senate.
Oh, is that right?
You know,
is that works? You mean the president? They don't write it and talk to the president about it?
They approve the law.
Right.
The two houses then joint make sure that the law is matched.
Right.
And it's a
right. Column. They can send it back and forth
then
a couple times.
They pass.
Right.
That,
right.
And then they send it to the president.
Oh, wait a minute. No. You're telling me the president doesn't send down the laws that he wants to have?
That's the same thing about this Affordable Care Act that drives me nuts. And this is where I differ with you, because they love to use the term Obamacare. And you even start embracing it. Saying, yeah, call it that. I don't care. But here's the thing that bothers me about it. They're trying, of course, to smear it. Because basically they're going like, hey, you know, the inward care. It's
yeah,
care.
That's right.
That's what they're trying
that's
to do.
That's what they're doing. That's
but
what they're doing.
The Affordable Care Act is a law that Congress wrote, negotiated.
These same guys.
Went back and forth for years.
Right.
And then finally passed.
Right.
It is a congressional law that was put up there. It was not what he was originally seeking.
Right.
So they originally had all these one payer, all this kind of
single
stuff.
Single payer and all that. Right.
Okay. But he accepted it because it was the best he could get out of Republican
deal,
which is why, ha, 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 jokes on them, it was based off of the Romney Care thing that came out. Okay.
And the Heritage Foundation.
That is why it's all based on that, because the Republicans, of course, shifted it as far right as they possibly could.
Right.
And then they passed that into law. All he did was say, okay, that's all I can get. I signed it.
But wait a minute.
You have Congress writes laws and passes the law. Then
the president don't write any laws?
No, not at all.
I thought that why did he come to the president and say he hasn't sent us any bills? What's that all about?
This whole thing. We need the president to negotiate this.
Why? He can't negotiate. That's not in his executive power.
We need the guy that is off of Route 66 that does the flipping machine
right.
to come negotiate.
Right. I mean,
it doesn't matter what he says.
Absolutely.
But look, here's the thing. The constitutional way is they write laws. And they can write new laws.
That's
they
right.
Can it. Just like they, you know, one time said slavery is valid, the next time they can say slavery is not valid.
Right.
Okay. So you can repeal a bad law.
Absolutely.
It's a bad law. Well, fine.
Right.
Then write a law and repeal it. You know, change it.
But you know, they'll have 87%.
So not only will they not do that,
they're
not even passing laws in their own, you know, houses and passing them like legally they should do. Now,
they haven't written any laws this year.
Okay.
They've done nothing.
Anything. They've been the least active Congress ever. But besides that, if there were an issue that was so bad that they had to go to the constitutional basis to repeal something, That's what you're talking to. Then you have yet another constitutionally enabled process,
right,
where anybody can appeal something, like even an amendment to the Constitution. You know, you can repeal that. But you have that overriding majority that you have to meet.
Okay, but so you're telling me.
But so there's two legal processes that they could go through to get a law changed. They can change laws and make new laws.
Okay, well,
or, but they can repeal them.
So why are they asking the president to change his law? Why are they asking him to do this?
It's BS, because he can't do any of it. The whole thing's a circus because all they're doing is shutting the entire government down and they're using it as an excuse. Because no matter what.
So you mean.
It doesn't matter if he set himself on fire and ran screaming into the halls of Congress. It wouldn't matter.
So you're saying, well, they'd like that. But you see, I just saw Boehner. He came out with a news conference this morning. He says, the president doesn't want to budge. Well, what does the president have to do with this process?
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely.
I mean, well, what does the president have to do with this?
There are two leaders in Washington
That's right.
now that could affect it, and that is Boehner and the little guy in the
Reed.
Now, Reed and you know, the Sith Lord McConnell, if those guys would start talking, they could affect things. They could change things. They could pass new laws.
But they changed it and sent it back to the morons, and the morons didn't do nothing.
No. So, anyway, that's all the circus. Though. That's
the
all
Senate has done their job.
Yes.
The Senate has done their job.
Well, no, they've already done. This is what infuriates me about this whole conversation. They keep talking about, you know, when are they going to come to the table? When are they going to negotiate? You can't negotiate. It's already a passed law. And worse than that, it's already been challenged in court and proven valid.
Right, by the Supreme Court.
There's nothing to do. That's like shutting the entire
well,
government down.
Did they go to
they have a speed limit.
The Sith Lord?
And you don't think
did they go to the Sith Lord? I mean, maybe he doesn't approve it.
But that's what is stupid about this.
And
the
so,
fact of shutting the entire government down because we enacted a speed law.
Okay, but now they said, well, we want to pick and choose
mm-hmm.
which agency can come up with money. Oh, the one that's
well,
squeaky wheel. So,
their,
you know what?
They
you
want
people
all
see.
The ones for their people, like,
well,
you know, the
yeah, but they started now, they want to spring your heart and say, oh, we're giving money to the cancer fund now. And we're going to have them go back. Well, you know what? Your child has cancer. You know, he won't get any funding there. Oh, and they had, what's the name? The director of intelligence, James Clapper, on. He said, well, do I have this? Let me see what James Clapper said. James Clapper said, this is the worst thing I have ever seen in my 60 years in government. This is what he said. He said, this is the worst. Let me give you a little piece with James Clapper, who is the director of intelligence, has never seen anything like this in his life.
I've been in these halls for 50 years. I've never seen anything like this. From my view, I think this on top of the sequestration cuts that have been taken, this seriously damages our ability to protect the safety and security of this nation and its citizens.
Now,
there you go.
Let me tell you something. They said 70% of the intelligence analysts are on leave.
Yeah, they're all
on furlough. Okay. They're all working. They just ain't getting paid.
Yeah.
Just like our armed services. They're all working. They just ain't getting paid.
Yeah. And what they hope, and this is, of course, up to the morons again, but they hope, like the last time they pulled the shenanigans and shut the government down for a little while, they then went back and paid them retroactively.
But see, the problem, well, they said they're going to do it today. That's one of the bills he's holding up. But see, here's the thing about that. It was all about that. These other bills had been paid. It was about the debt ceiling the last time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about the CR, the continuing resolution, mm-hmm. which is paying the bills that we have already allocated. That's just like when the guy came to do my deck here. He says, X amount of dollars is going to cost. I can't start until you give me a little bit of money.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and then you say, okay, start. I will be back. I have to go get the money out of the bank, and I go shopping. He comes here and starts building the debt. I go in the front door instead of the back door, and I'm in the house the whole time, and he finishes doing the deck, and I come out and say, nice. I can't pay you now. What?
And you say, would you like some tea?
Yeah. Would you like some tea? Oh, let me pay you for some of the nails you use.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't want to get paid. I got three other people to help me. Well, let me give you some money for gas.
And I asked him, and I cut my hand. Well, here's a Band-Aid. I'll pay you next week.
CR, the continuing resolution, ladies and gentlemen, is money we have already spent. Not say you say spent, allocated.
Well, it's just bills, like, you know how last week...
Like your gas bill, like your electric bill. They give it to you, and you don't pay, they shut it off.
Yeah, but it's something that we've already used and already done.
Right.
So we owe. And, I mean, this is the part that just drives me nuts. These are things that, you know, all these Tea Partiers and everything else have already, by law, spent. They've
right.
already said it, so and now they're saying, oh, we can't pay any of this. It's their own bills. They're not.
And three quarters of these bills were spent in the 26 states
mm-hmm.
in this country that are red.
Right. So,
why these people, you know, there was the old joke. He said, they beg so much. Their hands look like cups.
Yeah. Well, look, that's what cracks me up even more. They had one the other day where the lady on CNN, did you see that? I can't remember her name. Maria, somebody. She asked those Republican, when they you know, closed down the Senate, you know, which, by the way, nobody impressed anymore, but the first day's news, you remember they were on the floor live and they were talking to them. They were all up there drinking, stumbling around drunk. Right?
They were drunk. Because they knew there was nothing they were going to do. It was all bull.
But then when she asked them, she said, okay, well, you shut the government down, and they were, yes, we did, ho, 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 you know. And then she said, well, then are you going to cut your pay? Are you going to stop your pay and do all that? As you're federal employees, you just furloughed every federal employee, so
right.
you're going to do it yourself. And they all, and then he started just talking about, well, there's vital interest in this and that. You know, isn't it funny, these guys, who you talk about hands like cups, they talk about they don't want to pay for the, you know, watermelon welfare queens,
right.
all the people begging for money. Cause
right.
But these guys walk around through all these oil barons and everywhere else begging millions every year.
They and their hands look like
time.
Cups. Let's just hear this.
There's going to be no conversation about shutting the government down.
And I think it's unfortunate that the president is saying, well, if you don't fund Obamacare, I'll shut down your government.
He wants a shutdown because he understands this is one thing that could rescue him.
I think he wants this thing to happen, a shutdown of the government. I'm totally cynical on the thing. I think that's exactly what he wants.
Now, that last moron was Rich Priebus. Works for Dracula. But anyway, Rich Priebus held up a check and said the Republican Party is going to pay to have the World War II Memorial open. This was after the president sent an executive order to have it open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, he's freaking breaker right here.
These guys are playing this game. They shut everything down. Then they're running around screaming, why is Obama shutting things down? And did you see that circus the other day, the picture of Michelle Bachmann and all them shutting
oh, yeah.
at the World War II Memorial?
Well.
And they're calling for an investigation
right.
of Obama for shutting down the parks, they shut them down.
Well, Obama can't shut down those parks.
He can't shut nothing down.
He don't have a key or nothing. That's their gun. That's their parks.
But then they said they're going to investigate why Obama's doing this. And they said they wanted all records from the White House and everything else on decisions to keep anything open or closed to be preserved and not destroyed for the investigation to come.
What investigation? pretty much the President of the United States has that in his power to close down that.
That's why.
I mean,
the vote was held in this thing called the Congress.
Right. Well, here's something. Listen to this.
The reality is that American poor people are not malnourished. They, in fact, eat too much food.
When the safety net becomes a hammock.
My contention is that the Obama administration is encouraging parasites to come out and, you know, take as much as they can with no remorse. And this is how a country declines. This is how we become a weak nation.
30%. That's how many more Americans, according to a new study, are selling food stamps for cash illegally.
No,
Steve, that's not legal. Nearly 48 million people receive food stamps. The program costs $80 billion a year.
The government has reached into American neighborhoods and says it's okay to be dependent.
Shouldn't there be at least some stigma?
The people are selling food stamps.
Right.
You can't go buy food stamps with someone else and go in a store and buy something. You got to show an ID. And when that ID comes up, they can check it with that machine that they have, and it's not going to be your name.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just, they're lying.
But
they just lie.
I love that site that's called T-Bonic because the way they use language, the way they say things. Because, you know, this is a family values crowd.
Oh, it is? Family values?
But these are the guys who... They're cutting.
But it's family.
Look, they're closing schools.
Schools.
They cut off all the.
They just had one of the bills today. They're going to give us the WIC back.
They're doing that now because of the press. It's coming out.
That's right.
But these are the guys who are doing these. Their very first programs who are shutting down WIC, all of that kind of stuff. These are, then they turn around saying that they're, you know, the family values crap. They're just lying thugs. And this is, it's, you know, when you call them out on it, that's why they're running around trying to find 50 cents in checks from Renteria and
somebody
else to pay for these individual programs. What's hurt us today in the press? Pay for that one.
Pay for that one.
You know, you can't pick and choose.
Not according to these morons.
I think the American people have seen this as a government slowdown, not shutdown.
People are probably going to realize they can live with a lot less government than what they thought they needed.
And if that means that they're going to sit this out for a month or 2 months or however long the president wants to be arrogant and not talk to anybody, let's sit it out.
They're not going to be able to hold out if they injure your own nutritional assistance from the federal government. You know,
it's a really important
state of Arkansas
point.
Can help out. Localities can help out. Churches can help out. I believe that no one is going to starve in Arkansas because of the shutdown.
No, they keep going back to that same thing. They can't talk to the president about this. It's not his job.
Yeah.
You got to talk to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid.
If you want to look, though, if you want to look at it, this is the thing that infuriates me. You know, they talk about, and I love that, you know, T-Bonics, turn of phrases. They do this. The safety net has become a hammock. You know, all these freeloaders just laying around.
Oh, man.
Everybody's on the tropical island.
That's right.
You know, and they say they're closing down everything. All these people. It's basically turned into the L.A. riots.
Oh.
And all those black people running and breaking windows and stealing all of our national
absolutely.
But this is the thing. If you look beyond the rhetoric, the reason they're trying to shut this down, and even the shutdown is false to begin with, because you remember that thing we were looking at the national parks, you know, for instance. Hey, it's just part of the government. It isn't like they singled out, you know, Obama said, now close the parks. Ha, ha, ha. No, they specifically even exempted certain things.
Oh, yeah.
So, for instance, 18 of our national parks were left open to the oil and gas drilling.
You mean they was drilling?
So, no,
you
only for the public can't go in there. Nobody else can do anything, but the corporations can go in and make millions and billions still. Paid for by us, taxpayers.
And killing Bambi in the meantime.
That's still going on, but here's things that they don't want you to remember. And this is why we have an Affordable Care Act. Under the last administration.
Last administration. You mean
Dick
Cheney's administration?
Yeah, Dick Cheney's.
Okay.
From 2001 to 2008 only. Just those years.
Yeah.
Insurance companies of America, net profit increased from $2 billion per year, $2 billion,
yeah,
to $13
billion. In which years was this?
2001 to 2008. So they went from $2 billion to $13 billion. Insurance companies. Then
that wouldn't be because they passed a Medicare D program that let the little scoundrels get involved with the Medicare program.
And people's premiums
yes.
rose over 200%.
Oh, absolutely. I know that.
Again, 1 8-year window
right.
here in a certain administration. I wonder how that could happen. What, you know, was that anyhow related to economy? Was that anyhow connected to our GDP?
Well, so the economy's going down.
No, it was that. Right, exactly.
Right.
So it wasn't connected to anything
no.
except for rape and pillage.
Well, wait a minute. That means, so you're saying when the insurance rates went up, the economy went down?
Well, yeah.
It did, right?
Yeah.
Right, so that means with Obamacare, if the insurance rates go down, the economy should go up.
Yes, which it is.
Oh.
Anyway, so this is another one of those things. I don't want you to remember that.
Yes.
Just in those years alone,
yes.
your rates went through the roof.
Absolutely.
And there was ringing of hands. Nothing we can do. We don't know why. It's that, you know, no excuses, no nothing. It's just pure rate.
You were reading about something earlier about the woman in – okay, read that.
So earlier, I was mentioning that not only you've got that side of it, but – So this is just Blue Shield alone. Like you got your refund check the other day,
yep.
you know, from your insurance company.
Yep.
And
$22 million they have sent out already.
And
over.
You mentioned we can get to that in just a minute that you were looking at your daughter's insurance.
Yep.
And stuff, that the price difference is phenomenal, and you're going to go into exchanges now.
Absolutely.
So in that same vein, this is exactly what we're talking about. Just like they went. From, you know, $2 billion to $13 billion in profits per
right.
year.
Right.
Okay. Rates for Blue Shield, just since Obamacare started, dropped on average. $811 a month insurance rates. Okay. Drop.
I mean, they pay you to take it.
Yeah. Drop to, listen for $85.
Now, $85. What do you do?
$85.
They just let you in the door with $85?
So now, if you go see how much just pure profit, remember that? $2 billion to $13 billion, pure profit was being just ripped out of your pocket and stuffed into theirs by this one act alone, which isn't even great. It wasn't the single payer. It wasn't free universal health care for everybody. It wasn't anything else. It was just simply price controls and the ability to compare prices and shop across the exchange and find the best deal, $811 to $85 just on this one company alone.
Whoa.
So just by looking at that and looking at the Chase, that is exactly why they're scared to death and they're racing to shut this thing down.
Well, then why do we have
this? This is Obamacare. We're going to keep the focus on Obamacare because it's driving up the cost of health care.
President Obama's health care law resulted in higher premiums and costs for families.
In some cases, the premiums that they will pay will double.
Your premiums are going to double and your bills could double. I mean, this is really stunning news for lots of Americans.
And its chief result? Making our health care premiums enormously, unsustainably more expensive with death panels to boot.
I was looking over this. I didn't see anything about death panels.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they at?
Yeah.
So
everyone else is here on during the boat. You know, everybody, grandmother's
well,
going
but,
to
but
be
then,
to the
but then we have Glenn Beck saying this.
Here's what the media and the president still don't understand. We're celebrating the death of the establishment GOP right along with them. Yeah, I've got a cake and hats and like party streamers and everything today because they're dead. If the GOP hasn't stuck to its guns or its policies or its principles, then I don't know how long. All they are is about winning. Who should be in the tent? We need a bigger tent. That's the wrong angle. While the elephant may be dying, and it's not dying, it's dead. What isn't dying in America is personal responsibility.
You know, I heard a lot of sticking to guns and dead elephants and stuff, and I do distinctly remember that the NRA sponsored new television show, the reality show about hunting. They just had to cancel because the host on the opening episode blew away an elephant, shining right in the face, live on camera. So maybe that's what he was talking about. I'm not quite sure. But
excuse me.
I just want to remind you of the demonics of it all, because here is two Republican senators just this week caught on camera talking about the shutdown and how to spin it.
Oh, well, yeah, no, listen, I
want to,
yeah, they do, Okay. Just say it up a little bit more.
Local news station WPSD says.
Okay.
Okay, we're talking Senator Paul. You know,
and
Paul.
Senator McConnell.
And Senator McConnell.
Just listen to this.
I'm all wired up here.
I just get CNN. I just go over and over again. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to negotiate. I don't think they cold tested. We won't negotiate. I think it's awful for them to say that over and over again.
Yeah, I do too. And I just came back from that 2-hour meeting with them. And I was basically the same view privately as it was.
I think if we keep saying we wanted to defund it, we fought for that, but now we're willing to compromise. I think
what they were saying was kind of here. McConnell was getting wired up to come on radio, television, and Rand Paul said, "Oh, let me talk to you for a minute." He said, I'm wired up now. And then the moron started talking. He's wired up. So the cameraman and the sound engineer let him talk.
Yep.
And McConnell with his dumb look and Ron Paul looking over his shoulder, whispering loud into his earpiece, which was right there, saying, "I just came from a meeting from a television interview, and I told him that we want a compromise. Now we know, well we're not going to get anything out of this, but I think if we keep saying that long enough, that the people in America will start believing them." Mm-hmm. And McConnell said, "Oh, yeah, I just came for a meeting, too, with the president, and we're not going to get anything out of him. So we're just going to say that we're willing to compromise, and he won't."
Right.
And, I mean, give me a break here.
And one of the key things, too, is that they listened to it. They said, "I don't think we poll tested that phrase."
Right. I don't think we poll tested that phrase. What, compromise.
They're constantly look. They're
why?
They're,
because they never compromise. That's why they didn't poll test it.
They just look. They lie. But let's get to the language. This is very important. This is one of the best things you brought me in a long time, as far as research. So this is a good old friend of ours.
Go.
What's the other one? Okay, let me grab this one. Sorry. A good old friend of ours that you brought to my attention, which is unbelievable. But we're talking about, this is from an article, The Real Story of the Shutdown, 50 Years of GOP.
Oh, yeah, right.
And this gets to the heart of the language deal. Right. And this is something you've played over and over and over on the beginning of this show. He is one of the intellectual founders of the show.
Right.
Always saying, you know, that they don't care. They don't want everybody to vote.
And Carla will be right with you in a minute. Go ahead.
Yep. But this is Joan Walsh has a fantastic article. I ask any girl to read it.
Huffington Post.
About how they wanted to repeal the New Deal.
Yes.
And this 50 years ago, they couldn't get elected because, you know why? There was a little thing that was a success story called World War II.
Oh, right.
And all that we created after that, Social Security, all the New Deal. Mm-hmm. It was so popular, they didn't hold the Congress for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
4 years. But this is a guy who said, "We're going to change that Southern strategy. We're going to run hard, run lean on pure racism."
Yeah, absolutely.
"We're going to take this out and..."
And what was his name?
"Block vote." Well, I'm not going to talk about that. I'll tell you something else.
Okay.
Because I don't have time for it, because we got somebody online.
Yeah,
I
got somebody online.
Let's talk about a little guy named Lee Atwater.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Now, Lee is one of the, you know, architects of Nixon and everybody else. But this is a statement.
He's dead now, right?
Recently. This is an academic interview he gave talking about his work, 1981,
mm-hmm.
year one of the Reagan Revolution.
Right.
So this is verbatim quote.
Right.
And you cannot stress enough. Listen to them in their own words,
right,
about their own strategy,
right,
and you see the truth.
Right.
Okay. You start out in 1954 by saying, "N-word, N-word, N-word." But by 1968, you already can't say N-word because it hurts you and backfires in full. So you say stuff like forced busing, states' rights, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And you're getting so abstract that people start going, Now
we say Kenyan. And socialist.
Yeah. Now you're talking about cutting taxes,
right,
and all these types of things. You just are saying whatever totally economic things that are byproducts of them, so that all you want is the result. Blacks get hurt worse than whites. but you can't say that, so you say economic things to get the results you want. We just say we cut this, we cut that, and it's much more abstract than saying buffing or any of those, hell of a lot more abstract than saying the N-word, like
right.
you used to. But then when you can say defund Obamacare, everybody knows why and what you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is in their own words.
Well, we have someone online here who is going to talk about Obamacare.
It's the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, the Affordable Care Act, which is law.
L-A-W.
And if you want to get rid of it, it will take 2/3 of the morons in Congress.
No, they don't even have to do that. Yes. That's to repeal it. You know,
let's outright. Repeal it.
They can simply go and write a new law and change the law all day long.
No,
that's what a Congress can do.
A constitutional law can only be changed by 2/3 of the Constitution, by 2/3 of the people in the House.
No, I'm just saying.
You just can't write a law. They got to get rid of the law first. You just can't write a law now. Okay, let's see. Caller, you're live.
Hello, Mr. Lawson?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, hi. I'm glad to be on your show today. How are you all this afternoon?
We're doing fine, just waiting for you.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be invited and glad to call on your show. I'm proud to say that I am a non-supporter of the Obamacare Act or the Affordable Care Act for several reasons. Number one, it's going to drive regular premiums for people who actually do have insurance, people who actually do work, and it's going to cause regular premiums to go through the roof. I believe that Obama and his socialist policies are further destroying and crippling America, because the man is a bona fide socialist. And I just believe that Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act just needs to be defunded. And this shutdown, I blame not on the GOP, not on the Tea Party, which a friend of mine criticized me the other day. He is a moderate, but he did criticize, saying that the Tea Party has hijacked the Republican Party now, and he blames the Tea Party for the shutdown. But nevertheless, I just blame the failed policies of this administration once again to not exhibit the proper leadership, structure, and care. And like my great hero, Bill O'Reilly, the great Fox News commentator, says, one of the downsides of Obamacare is the massive potential for fraud, because it is a big mess, because Obama has not clarified or substantiated his as far as the infrastructure of Obamacare is concerned. So those are just some of my primary concerns about this act.
Well, as a loyal get-ahead of Bill O'Reilly, you said the rates of ordinary citizens will go up. Why would
premium?
The rates. Why would they go up?
Because in the insurance agency, for instance, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they might have the majority over a state at a particular time. Now Obamacare is coming in, and it's providing competition. And in order for Blue Cross and Blue Shield to stay in place, they're going to have to jack their rates up.
Go back again. If I am the only one selling gasoline for $4 a gallon, and the another station comes in two blocks from me and is selling it for $3.50 a gallon, why am I going to raise my rates to $4.50 a gallon?
To stay competitive. That's how we live in a capitalistic market. That's how you stay competitive.
Wait. Did you not just hear me?
But you said the rate is going to go up.
Ditto head.
How can they go up
if
you're...
I am selling for $4 a gallon and the gasoline station two blocks from me is selling it for $3.50 a gallon, why would I raise my rates to $4.50 a gallon and have everybody go to the gas station
that's selling it at $3.50 a gallon. Okay, next question. Now, we'll come back to that. You said you had a question.
I just want to say a couple of things because I didn't understand. Okay, so, A, you're saying Obamacare and that he's done this and he's done that, but he hasn't done anything. The Affordable Care Act is a congressional law that they wrote, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They wrote it, they vetted it, they passed it into law, and then he signed it. He didn't veto that version. So it went in, but he doesn't do anything. He doesn't run the exchanges. He doesn't do anything like that. That's all set by law. The way it all operates was spelled out in the law that Congress passed. The president does nothing more than sign or veto a law that Congress presents to him. So how is it his fault, and how is he running these exchanges, and he damaging the states and all of that? I don't understand that statement at all.
Because he's a socialist.
Oh, how is he a socialist? I'm just curious about the definition. Because
what does that have to do? He has
a question. They called him a socialist, a communist, a terrorist, a foreigner,
Kenyan.
Know, everything else. So
Kenyan. Don't forget Kenyan.
All of these are mutually exclusive. They've also called him a fascist, which is the complete opposite end of the spectrum from a communist.
Right.
We won't get into any definitions.
Well,
so
we will next
sure.
week. Because, yeah,
we'll go here. So if he's a socialist, how is he a socialist? Because he's not part of a socialist party. And what does that mean? I'm not curious. Because, again, this is a law that he can't affect. It's a congressional law.
Yeah, so they're doing it.
Anything to do with the running of it. So even if he were an outright socialist, he couldn't affect it. But how is he a socialist, and how is that going to change?
Look at the definition of socialism. He is trying to make it to where everything is equal on everybody's part, meaning that even if the hardworking, decent people who pay into this system, even the people who don't work to pay into the system, I am not saying, and let me go on record as saying this. There is not a hard-working person in the GOP, John Boehner on down, there's not a hard-working person in the GOP. No one has said that we don't need affordable health care. So let me just clarify.
Yes, they have. They have. They've been saying it for 50 years. They've been saying it for 50 years.
You have not heard anybody, Mr. Lawson, you have not heard anybody come out and say, we don't need affordable health care.
Listen to Fox and O'Reilly. You only hear one side. They have been saying this for 60 years. They have been voting against health reform. Are you kidding me? For 60, Roosevelt wanted to get it in. He could not get it in. Every Democratic president since Roosevelt has pushed for health care reform. You remember Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, they destroyed it.
Give me a break.
But anyway, okay, so listen.
Right.
Let's take that at its face value if he says this is that they want health care reform. So then, if you want health care reform, what would be, and you say you want it to be, you know, affordable health care reform, so hence it's got to be, you know, across the board affordability for everybody, not just, you know, millionaires or whatever. But so then what is your option? Because to reach the compromise to pass the so-called Obamacare, which is actually the Affordable Care Act, to reach the compromise.
My thing is, why can't you give, like O'Reilly was saying, why can't you give everybody a waiver? Can't you give everybody a waiver? The first year saying, okay, we're going to give you a waiver to see how this thing is going to be implemented, how this thing's going to go, and instead of forcing Americans into this. You tell me that's not socialism?
Wait a minute. The Congress passed it.
It's a law.
It's a law.
It's like
they went through this already. What the hell is wrong with you? Do you remember? They passed it. Republicans passed it.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
It's just like
Obama wasn't the president when this was passed. Oh, yeah, he was.
No.
He was only a president for 3 months. It passed with Republican votes. So why don't you blame them? Why you start at the top? Blame them. Listen, if someone and gets in a fight with somebody, and you go to the judge, and the judge says, you guys, you got to pay $50, and you got to pay $150. You're going to blame the judge? What do you blame? You blame the people who fought.
So I'm saying, like O'Reilly was saying, why don't he just give us a year before forcing Americans into this?
Years. You've had 60 years to put health care in. When you guys, you morons, were in charge. You guys were in charge. Why didn't you do health care? Because the money was lining your damn pocket. What, do you have health care? Do you have health care? Do you have health care?
Yes, I do.
Do you have health care? Or do you go to the emergency room like you've done for years on my dole? Or my money? Do you have health care?
That's when I didn't have health care, yes. When I didn't have health care, but President Reagan signed it. Listen, this is not the turn of the century England where people just die on the steps of the hospital. President Reagan signed legislation that even if you didn't have health care, the hospital had to take you. Because that's the moral thing to do.
Are you saying then that he created a socialist law that he forced hospitals against their profit margin and against their will to take people at their own risk and indebtitude to take care of poor people who can't pay? Isn't that a horrible communist socialist law?
That was the moral thing to do. And see, the GOP is often concerned with the morality of the issue.
Oh, wait a minute. So when you were going to the emergency room on my dole, on my dime, that was the moral thing to do. Do you know what those morons said when they ran for president, those 14 stooges up there, when they was asked that question? They said, let them die. That's what they said. Let them die. And I don't mean on the steps like Jimmy Cagney in the Roaring Twenties. They let them die. When you were on the dole, it was all right when you were on the dole, but it's not all right for anybody else who's on the dole right now. Are you telling me that? Is that moral? That's immoral. You got yours, and later for everybody else. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is that what you're telling everybody here?
I'm just saying. Look, the Clintons, they tried this whole idea with health care when Bill was in office, but you know they weren't as his hands. You know they were too hands on, and that's why it couldn't get passed. Obama was not hands on enough, and he did not exhibit the proper leadership like he's done in many other aspects of his administration. Failed to exhibit proper leadership, and I don't think that I trust him in implementing anything, especially the Affordable Health Care Act.
Listen, stop it. You've been brainwashed. The President of the United States doesn't go to Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Humira and say, "Let me see how you're implementing this." Stop lying. You guys stop lying. I work for the government. Never was there ever a bureaucrat in my doctor's office with me. Never.
That's not true. Not under Obamacare, not under the Affordable Health Care Act. There's going to be much bureaucracy that has been created under this.
Again, it's a law that Congress passed, and any medical situation or doctor or hospital is simply following the law as written by Congress.
That's right.
It's got nothing to do with the president. If Obama died tomorrow and Reagan rose from the grave and took the presidency, would it suddenly, it's still the law of the land, so would it suddenly be Reagan care? And that Reagan's the socialist pig that is taking over everything and ramming it?
No, and what's going to happen?
I wouldn't dare to call the father of modern-day conservative politics a socialist. Never would dare.
He's not the father. Lee Atwater's the father of modern politics.
I'm saying, though, if it's a law of the land, how's it? Like, for instance, listen to this. This is a quote from the Reagan era. This is a quote. Listen, this is couple of people you may know about. Senator Bob Dole, House Speaker Newt Gingrich, and House Majority Leader Dick during the Reagan years. This is their direct quotes on Medicare when they're having the Medicare reform debate. They said, Senator Bob Dole said, I was there. I fight the fight. I was one of only 12 people in Congress that voted against Medicare because we knew it would never work in 1965, and I tried to defeat it, and we need to defeat it again. Okay. Then Newt Gingrich said, now, we didn't get to get rid of it in round one because we didn't think it was politically smart at the time. It cost us an election. But we believe that Medicare is going to wither on the vine because we're going to cut the spending part. That's Newt Gingrich. Then leader Dick Armey, majority leader of the House, said Medicare has no place in a free world. Social Security is a rotten trick. It's like communism and socialism. I can't think that we're going to have to bite the bullet on Social Security and phase it out over time. We'll destroy it. Now, that was the law of the land. It was passed way before these guys came to power. It was passed World War II.
Right.
Reagan presided over that whole time. They tried, you know, that's verbatim. They tried to destroy it, couldn't destroy Social Security. But Social Security is the model of a pay system. The employer hires someone and pays them a salary, and then they employee voluntarily gives part of his salary into a savings account that he can then access later in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-for-one, a dollar-for-dollar. What you put in, you get a part out. It pays for itself. It has no other way of getting money. It's not like you borrowed from everybody else in the country. Now,
but the federal government is borrowing from that.
Yeah. Now, that's what they did.
They're taking the money out left and right.
The money.
Right.
They changed the
got IOUs up to the ceiling in there.
But listen, that's the only reason that the whole system's at risk, because every person is a one-for-one system. But just to make the point, Reagan and Dick Armey and you know, all
Gingrich,
the guys, Gingrich and all of them, Bob Dole, you know, they were in Congress, they were serving, and he was president during that time. Are you saying that makes them communists or socialists? They said directly it was a communist and socialist system, and yet they presided over 8 years of Social Security and Medicare and all that.
Why didn't they get rid of it?
So why is that then that's their system?
Why didn't they get rid of it?
Or why didn't it make it easier? I just don't understand the connotation that somehow Obama is in charge of the medical system and the government now, but back then Reagan wasn't.
Right.
I don't get that. How come it's not the, you know,
the Reagan communist system.
Reagan care.
Reagan care. Right.
Well,
yes.
I just don't think that you should be taxing Americans and making them pay a fine. I mean, because I just don't think that that's fair or that's just that you tax them into something, making them get this. And if they don't, hey, I'm going to fine you behind this. I mean, that's one of the reasons why John King wanted to go against Obama's plan for universal health care because...
Stop saying Obama! It's not Obama! Stop saying that!
But look,
the damn Congress! It ain't Obama!
Again, just for
Jesus.
Clarity, though, okay, on the Affordable Care Act,
yeah.
The Democrats had come with a single-payer system.
Right, let's do that.
And they didn't want any taxes or any fines on people that way.
That's right.
And then the Republican compromise that they came back was barred from Mitt Romney's state. And they brought
and he borrowed it from the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah, the Heritage Foundation wrote it. But they brought in that, which, you know, during the last election they called Obamacare. Obamacare was Obamacare. But anyway, they brought that in. That was a Republican compromise they brought in to fine people.
Right.
So
this is
a Republican
law. Wait, Republican.
I've never heard that on Fox News before. You mean to tell me?
That's on Fox News. Do you know there's a hurricane coming? Did you hear that on Fox News?
But
I bet you didn't.
All you have to do is go look in the congressional record.
Right.
Look at
the record.
How the law was passed. But anyway.
You're telling me that was a Republican ideology to fine people?
Yes.
I don't believe that.
Well, because you don't want to. You know why? You know why? Because your brain is two-tenths. Two-tenths is normal size. You're brainwashed. Listen to this. Did you ever hear this before? Now listen to this.
Now many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Now, that was said by Paul Weinrich, the father of the conservative movement. They don't want everybody to vote, especially you if you're black. They don't want you to vote. They want you out of the damn way. Out. Get out of the way. The problem with you, you're brainwashed. Everything you said is just all bullshit. Because you don't know the facts. You don't want to hear the facts. The fact is that in... Read the thing about the woman with the insurance has gone down. Let me tell you this. It's 26 states. 26 states in the United States that have not accepted the Affordable Care Act, or otherwise known as Obamacare. 26 states. Do you know how many people in those states are uninsured? 8 million. 8 million. And out of those 8 million, two-thirds are poor black women.
And you do know that South Carolina, my home state, is one of the states that did not support the Affordable Health Care Act.
And single white women. And they are low-wage workers, because most of them are migrant workers. And the problem is in Texas, they're supposed to have the biggest job creation in the world. Yeah, at $5 an hour. And I was just down there in South Carolina. You know that. Please, that state's going to hell in a handbasket. Because they got that moron. And you know what? I know that moron that's the governor. Because my mother helped her mother get her first selling job because she was a clothing designer. So I know her when she was a kid. So they came here.
You don't know the governor, right?
I know her mother. And I know her. No, I said, she don't remember me, but I know her. I know her when she was a baby. Not a baby, six years old.
But just to get back on track here for a second. So besides, the governor who, I mean, these people, I don't understand all this. You know, we're the family values. We're the Christian crowd. We need South, hiking the Appalachian, South American Trail. But taking his statement and your point that, all these people are going to be left out of states that aren't accepting the
health
care.
Right, 8 million.
So 8 million people, I mean, that's not very family values oriented when all the poor people...
Sure it is. As long as it's not your family values.
This guy, what then would be your solution what do you want to happen? How do you envision health care in America? How do you envision anything happening? Because I just read a stat.
Now remember, you were one of those people. You say you have insurance now? Are you sure you have insurance now? Do you have insurance?
Let me say this. It's kind of hard to offer affordable health care when you have geniuses that sue, that can go back and sue for these malpractice suits because the doctor accidentally gave Aunt Bessie the wrong medicine and Aunt Bessie died or whatever like that, and now I'm going to go and sue you for $100 billion to bring Aunt Bessie back from the dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So.
What is that? Mean?
I believe.
Talking about. What does that have
I
to
believe
do with?
That. I believe that we need affordable health care, but I just don't believe that Americans should be forced into it.
Can you ask that question for the fourth time I'm asking you? Either yes or no.
What?
No, you don't, right? So I'm paying for you every time you get sick and your family gets sick? Are you kidding me? I'll go to South Carolina, and I'll tell every single doctor and every hospital not to accept you. Because I don't want to pay you.
What are you talking about?
I don't.
If my son needs to go to the doctor, he has insurance. He can go to the doctor. My wife needs to go to the doctor.
Yes. Go ahead. Do you have health insurance? Yes,
yes
or no? For the fifth time. Is it yes?
I don't think that needs to be brought up. The fact of the matter is that I was asked the question by the gentleman, what would I do? And I would, like I said, I would give a waiver. I think there should be a waiver to where people should not be forced into having to buy health insurance. I think it should be.
What's the waiver going to do?
Pardon me? It'll at least give it a chance to see if Affordable Health Care Act, to see if it's actually going to work.
Wait, what does the waiver do?
Just for a second. So, okay, let's just take that one statement then. So why then is it valid for the Tea Partiers to shut the entire government down trying to stop it from going into effect before they give it a chance to see if it's going to work? Couldn't they just wait a year to see if it works?
Yeah, give us a waiver. Give Obamacare a waiver.
That's what, that doesn't make sense. If you're going to wait and see, I mean, it's their law to begin with, but anyway, if you're going to wait to see if something works, then let it work. It, you know, it was starting this month.
That's right. Well, why don't you give, I know you can't do nothing down in South Carolina because the nut job you have, the nitwit you have for a governor, refused to take it, and that's why you got so many people in the emergency room and it's the daggone place going hell in a damn handbasket. Why don't you give Obamacare a year waiver? Huh?
Why don't we as a state give it a year waiver?
You. Why don't you wait and see for a year if Obamacare works?
Because I know it's not going to work. This is a silent error that's going to cost the American people trillions of dollars here.
How do you know this?
All new legislation comes with trial and error. That's the point.
Well, this is the same with this, isn't it, right? It's the same with this, trial and error.
I mean, I'm not quite following you because it's like, for instance, the law that forced every car company in America to put a seatbelt in the car.
Right.
Was written because, you know, a few people, not all people that drive, but a few people got in wrecks. And when you get in wrecks going faster than 5 miles an hour, you tend to do things like, you know, fling forward uncontrollably and hit your body parts. So you end up getting injured and or killed. So to prevent unnecessary injuries, they mandated a law in their communist horrific way.
Right,
and they mandated that everybody have seatbelts. Because when I was growing up, we didn't have seatbelts. We used to either drive around without them, or if they were in a car, you know, you would click them together.
They go through the windshield.
Nobody had seatbelts. But then they changed that law in the 70s, right? Okay. So if you take that out of space, what are you saying? You're forcing, just horrifically forcing people to put seatbelts on, and all those car companies incurred the cost of the seatbelts.
Right.
Now, contrarily, you could say that it was more than paid off because tens of thousands of people did not die, and then hundreds of thousands more weren't injured, and so they didn't have to go to hospitals, and they didn't have to drive up all our health care costs and insurance costs and the repair costs on cars, blah, 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 down the line, because of all the prevented injuries. So was the, you know, $1.50 they spent on a canvas strap on the seat an unnecessary expense, or was it worth it in the long run and saved Americans lives and money? That would be the example of a law being enacted, right?
I mean, I see your point, but no.
Okay, so that would be the same like the health care. I don't understand the pushback on the ACA, because what it basically does, and this is Congress, everybody, not Obama. He didn't sit at night and write this law. Congress passed a law that just said everybody needs to have health care. The costs are going to be cut down because we're going to create nationwide exchanges.
Sure.
Because the way it is, unfortunately, in the past, several small states and small areas would only have one insurance coverage. You know, they don't have one company doing it, so they could drive up any cost they want. But this is going
to
happen.
We don't know what doctors are going to even accept this mess anyway.
Well,
That's just like Medicaid. All doctors don't have to accept Medicaid.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
So
wait a minute.
We don't know what doctors are going to accept this mess of a law. So it's still, to me, there's so much uncertainty surrounding the Affordable Health Care Act.
But what? You still haven't given a reason. Hey, look, in England, they carry an umbrella because it could rain at any time. So you say I'm not carrying my umbrella? I mean, what you're saying is ludicrous. You have some.
No, I don't get the backlash against the law. The law. The only
if the law is the law.
Look, it just sets up exchanges so that there is competition.
Right. Now, so, and you know what that's going to mean? When doctors were not going out anymore, they were joining. They're joining associations of hospitals now. You know what's going to happen now? You know what's going to happen now? These associations in the hospitals, they all take Medicare. They all do. They all do. And you know what? That's what's going to happen here. Now, the doctor down the block who doesn't take the Affordable Care Act is going to lose patients. They're going to lose patients. I spoke to my doctor about this last week. And you know what? Most doctors don't know nothing. And you know why? Because they don't sit down, and like you, they don't sit down and read about it. And I told him, he told me his insurance, he pays $500 a month. I said, you're out of your mind. Why are you paying $500 a month? I don't pay $500 a month. And my insurance is over $1,500 a month for me. What? I got federal insurance. They pay three-quarters of it.
Yeah.
But the problem is now...
Because you're a freeloading veteran.
Because I'm a freeloading veteran. But see, here's the thing. My daughter... I pay for my daughter's insurance. I paid for it 4 years ago. It was cheap. I thought $200 was high, $225. I said, this is ludicrous. Every year, before the Affordable Care Act was on the scene, every year it went up $100. This year, it was going up to $407. These people are nuts. I said, I'm not paying it. So I went to this is before the Affordable Care Act, I went to an insurance broker. And he said, you know what you need to do? See if you want to take a $2,500 deductible. I said, there's no way I can pay $2,500. I said, I got a $500 deductible now. He said, just see. I went back to the insurance company, and the insurance company said, yes, if you take a $2,500 deductible, we'll give you insurance for $225. That's what it was 4 years ago. So I went back to the broker, and he said, great. What I'll do is I'll sell you some insurance for $42 a month that will cover your $2,500 deductible. So now I'm paying $225 plus $42. That's not $400-something. And you know what? I now can go on the exchange and get that down to probably under $100 a month. So what you're saying is completely wacko. If you have some gasoline, which you never explained to me, gasoline selling for $4 an hour, and someone moving two blocks away selling gasoline for $3.50. Where would you go? Tell me, which gasoline station, same gas, where would you go?
I would go to the one for $3.50.
Okay, now, so what your analysis was, everything's going to go up. So I'm now going to raise my rates to $4.50. That man down the block is still $3.50. Where would you go?
Well, so you got to understand, the insurance company is a private regulated market. So if that's private,
where would you go? Where would you go?
If that's a private market, they're going to have to stay competitive with the Affordable Care Act. They're going to have to stay.
That's not what you said. You said they would raise their price.
They would go down.
They would not raise their price. They would go down to $3.50. As a guy at $3.50 went down to $3.25, they would go down to $3.25. Because you know what? They're making more money than hand over fist. Do you know what? I just got a check. My daughter's insurance again. It automatically comes out of my account. I got a letter from them in July. I looked at it, put it on the computer table, forgot about it. A month later, I said, oh, I'm at the computer table cleaning it up. Oh, let us in the insurance company. Open it up. They said, dear sir, because of the Affordable Care Act, in parentheses, Obamacare, all ALL in capital letters. Insurance companies now have to spend 80% of your premium on your welfare.
You mean
since
not in their pocket?
Not in their pocket anymore.
So they actually have to spend it on your health
care. On your health care. Since we did not do this by law, we have to reimburse you the portion that we did not spend on your insurance.
So you got a check.
Enclosed is a check for $99.92. So far, we have paid out $22,892,000 to other insurers. Thank you. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate. Give us a call.
So then that lower cost and a $22 million boon to the residents of North Carolina.
That's right. So if you don't get sick.
So that will help the economy, right?
If you don't get sick during the year, you're going to get a check back guaranteed every year by the 1st of August. Now, explain that to me. Did you get a check back from your insurance company? Oh, no. You don't have insurance. Because everybody that has insurance and did not, wasn't sick the entire year, is going to get a check back. So now tell me, how are the rates or the premiums going to go up? You got the floor.
Well, they're still going to go up.
Dutch.
They're still going to go up.
Why? Why are they going to go up?
Because they're going to go up.
Why?
If there's competition and prices are dropping because of competition, why would they go up?
Yes.
Just let me think about that. I mean, I got two different people here. Just give me some time to think about that. But
okay.
Again, I think that's one of the points. There is fear over any new law or anything else. You always get the unknown. So that's okay.
Ain't nothing unknown about this. If you don't listen to Fox.
Well, I'm just saying, there's always fear among people. Like, what's this law going to change?
Fear. There's nothing but fear about fear itself.
Just look at the law. It's a simple law, you know, that just says.
Simple.
Exchanges in every state so that they have to have
every state that isn't a red state.
And that's another thing that mystifies me about this, that the argument against it is that it somehow, you know, communists are taking of the...
Communist people.
It ensures that we have as much competition among profit-making
organizations.
As possible. I mean, that's what it's a business generator.
Every time Dick and Harry can open up an insurance program now.
This is the thing that the medical industry was so thrilled about, all the insurance agencies. Because it mandates, you remember this part, because it mandates everybody have health coverage, they're going to have tens of millions of new customers.
Right.
Remember that?
Now, here's 10 things you should know about the health insurance exchange. One, starting October 1st, you can purchase health coverage through the Affordable Care Act Health Insurance Exchange Program. Duh, if you're not in one of those 26 states. The coverage kicks in January 1st, 2014. Your coverage option depends on where you live. Some states have exchanges run by the federal government, whereas others have their own exchanges and ones created in conjunction with the Obama administration. Either way, you can go healthcare.gov, healthcare.gov, to see the coverage options and how much they cost. You have 6 months to make a choice. If by March 31st you have no health insurance through the exchange, or your employer, you face a fine of 1% yearly, or $95 per year, whichever is higher. The fee increase every year rises 2.5% of your yearly income in 2016, or $695 per person. That's
on the top of the health care cost. So every year, it'll go up if you don't want to spend. And see, that $95 that the government gets back is nowhere near what it costs for you to go to the emergency room at the daggone local hospital.
Because the emergency room is the absolute premium cost.
I just went to the emergency room in February, and it cost me $2,575. That was for the emergency room. You know what the doctor was? $2,450 just for the doctor. That's $4,000 right there versus you paying $83 a month? Yeah. Are you joking? Yeah. Now, next thing.
I have a quote here I want to read from Rand Paul.
Rand Paul. The man has health insurance. He has health insurance.
Paid
by me.
Are you trying to are you trying to make a point here about something, Michael? Yeah. I mean, I'm just hold on a second. I lost my quote. My computer froze. Hold on.
Okay, good. While you're finding that, I'll read this. What if the health care insurance through my employer? What if you have health insurance through your employer, you can keep it.
Yeah, so that's not a forced.
So the lies that they spread on Fox, oh, you're going to lose your health insurance. Boom, you can keep it.
You can keep any insurance.
Job-based plans qualify as minimal essential coverage. In other words, you will be fine for not having health insurance if you're covered through your job. And because your employer pays a portion of your premium, the coverage might be cheaper than the plan offers through the insurance exchange. And that means that if your insurance company, if your employer jacks up your insurance price, they're cheating. They're pocketing that money.
But it also means, if you listen to this, you have the ability
to
shop and compare and get
the
cheapest.
That's right. You don't have to take your health care to your insurance to your employer. You can go on the exchange and get it cheaper.
Because all the way, you're trapped. This way, you have choice.
What are the different types of health insurance? All the available health insurance plans we offer, essential health insurance for emergency services, maternity, neonatal, periodontic care, outpatient, rehabilitation services, counseling, therapy, preventive care, wellness services, prescription drugs. Certain plans may offer additional coverages. You'll be able to compare plans in terms of coverages and costs.
Starting on the 1st of October.
Oh, and by the way, what is the catastrophic plan? The catastrophic plan offers essential health benefits, but as a higher deductible. Think of it as a safety net. In your case, you have unexpected accidental illness. You'll pay less up front, but more if you need it. The plan does, however, cover 3 annual primary care visits and preventive services at no cost.
What? No cost.
Underneath the Affordable Health Care Act?
What did I just say? Well, were you listening or were you headed to the toilet?
Yeah, he's quoting.
Yes. I'm quoting. And by the way, there is no more your cutoff. If there's $2 million, if it costs $100 million, they don't cut you off anymore. That's gone. People who had spent, my next-door neighbor over here, the judge, retired judge, he needed a heart and kidney transplant. It was, he had to sell his cars. He had went through all his packing, his savings. $400,000. He now is going to be covered with everything because there is no more pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, I knew about that.
Okay. So, I mean, that's nice. So did you find your quote yet, sir?
No, I went back to it, but when I refreshed it, I couldn't get back to that page. Yes, but no.
But Rand Paul erased it. Now, the other thing, hey, how about this? Dental care. Ah, dental care is considered an essential health benefit for children, but not for adults. You didn't have that with all the other insurances. Dental care, unless you bought it extra for the kids. You got that covered now. And starting October 1st, there'll be different prices. I think there's 3 levels. There's a standard,
and then there's a goal, and then there's a premium level. And the premium level is every Tom, Dick, and every single thing that you'll ever want to do. You want to go to outer space and jump out and come back down to Earth? Yes, yeah, it's covered. And remember, 26 years of age.
Somebody's got to fit the bill with this. And by increasing the debt ceiling and further driving our country in the hole in debt,
You see, you don't conflate this. Stop that. That ceiling got nothing to do with Obamacare. This is a constitutional law.
Well, somebody's got to fit the bill for this.
You saying that our right to vote increases the debt ceiling? Are you saying
our
that?
Right to be for our right to be for, have something forced on us?
Wait, does the right to vote increase the debt ceiling?
Why? What does that got to do with anything?
Because that's why you're the one that brought it up. You said Obamacare increases the debt ceiling. It's no constitutional law increases the debt ceiling. None. It has nothing to do with it. Well, it's a constitutional
somebody's got to pay for this. Where's that quote?
Somebody's
got to pay for this.
Who's paying for me to vote?
Well, Mike, here's something about this debt ceiling thing that drives me nuts. I keep hearing about, we can't have debt ceiling. You know, Obama's been, out of all modern presidents since the 1800s, he's raised the debt ceiling to least.
That's absolutely correct.
The most ever in the entire history
was
Reagan.
18 times.
Second most?
Bush.
Junior, and then Bush Senior. Okay, they were the number. Top three that raised.
And I've never heard anybody talk about that.
Yeah, I wonder why. Here's the thing: the debt ceiling. What we're talking about is they're going to raise the debt ceiling to pay off existing debt.
Right.
That means things we've already paid. I mean, already done. Right. We're paying for. Like the
Didn't
wars.
They just go over this?
All the wars.
All the wars. Right.
You know, all the trillions we just dumped
into the
sand.
You mean the Cheney wars?
But listen, yes. So, but that's what we're paying for. That's what the debt ceiling is about. Those are debts that are already incurred. The Congress already voted for.
Right.
Already done.
You're saying that there's no new spending attached to any of the debt ceiling?
No.
No
new
in the future,
spending.
In the future, you know, we were talking about Obamacare, you know, starting, you know, remember it's starting this month? Starting. So in the future, any cost ever associated with it will be on whatever, you know, bills
right.
coming. But right now we're talking about previous bills that are due.
Right. These are previous bills.
These are from the former administrations and former things. But, I mean, again, I don't get, you know, the cost of the wars, you know, 1 month of the wars was more than the entirety of our domestic spending on any kind of domestic program, including education, healthcare, everything else. So they had far greater impact than any kind of health care reform. If we made mandatory pay through your nose, every person gets their paycheck ripped out of their
right.
pocket, it wouldn't
well,
even
I'm sorry, well, I'm sorry. Our national security was more important to me than, you know, taxing people or forcing health care on people. I mean, we had national security interests.
Since you've never put on a uniform and stood post, don't talk to me about our wars, because you know you have no right to talk about people who have fought and stood post for this country. Don't even talk about it. You have no right.
I've served this country, but not in war. But I have served this country. I've never been called to.
You have never served this country.
Yes, I have. I have served in the Army National Guard. Yes, I have.
You have never went in from South Carolina? Please, what are you, hunting a rabbit? You hunting a rabbit or a squirrel? Give me a break. You have never got shot at by someone who wanted to take your head off. You have never gone over there and stood post. Don't tell me about no daggone war. Don't tell me about this war was greater. That war was not necessary. The Afghan war, I can understand to a certain point. But there was no need to get rid of a slouch who didn't do jack to us, who was our ally, who we gave chemical weapons to, and who Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney shook hands with as our best friend. Don't tell me about that. That's bullshit. And
you're talking about Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
Who the hell you think we're talking about?
Mike, listen. Saddam Hussein was a nut job, and he needed to go.
You said we need to fight the wars. That, don't you remember
yes.
we were in Iraq? Where were you?
He was a nut job that needed to go. He threatened our national security interests abroad.
Tell me how. When he was our ally against the Iranians.
He was our puppet.
He was our puppet. What are you talking about? Where do you think the chemical weapons came from? That he gassed the Iranians, the Iranians.
That's the reason they gave for. That's why we can't go into Syria right now. Is because
that's right.
Of what we did in Iraq. Because we violated the UN Convention.
We violated the UN Convention. We sold chemical weapons to Iraq. We, Dick Cheney, sold chemical weapons to Iraq, who he used on his
own. The reason why we can't go into Syria is because Obama waited too long to deal with Syria.
Syria
is now out of control.
Don't go to Syria. We're talking about a war. This man was our puppet in that region of the world. We gave him weapons. We gave him airplanes. We gave him chemical weapons, which he used on his own people and the Iranians. Don't say that. Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld shook hands with this man. There's plenty of pictures showing that. So don't say that was good. So that's what I mean when you said you stood in National Guard. You guys must have been hunting rabbits and squirrels because you were not paying attention to what's going on in this world.
The point is, whether or not y'all two are fighting over who serves more in a battle, the point I was making was that wars cost exponentially more than any domestic spending could ever.
But that's what he said. It's worth more to fight it.
He's saying
that it's
worth more, but... why? Why? And they don't equate to each other. So you've got one is a foreign defense against a possible incursion, I guess, whatever. So it's our foreign defense. But what about our domestic defense, right? So wouldn't you want to spend money on things like education?
They don't want to.
Healthcare.
They don't want to.
You know, all that kind of
stuff. No, please, don't let him get off that. That's not, you let him get away there.
No, but that's what we're
60
talking.
Years they didn't want to pay for it. You think he wants to pay for it now? Please. The whole thing with them is war,
well,
because that takes away from what we are suffering here with.
So let me just say, I mean, if your population is sick and dying, cancer and diabetes, all this stuff.
Don't die!
Yeah, but then you can't defend yourself. You're spending all of your capital on...
We hire mercenaries.
On health issues. No, it's just stupid. And secondly, things like infrastructure, for instance. You know, Eisenhower and then Kent with the freeway system. The interstate system was solely so that they could move our military anywhere, state to state, city to city, at best speeds, right?
To see that they have planes. So
to help the crazy cost, because they made the taxpayers pay for that
right.
up front. Remember, they rammed that down, or we didn't have a choice on that. We had to pave every road across the entire nation, make it a six-lane highway between all major cities. Then they said, okay, you can get your money back by opening it to commerce and trade so that we can truck on it and make public money back out of it. But in the event, of any national emergency or military threat, the interstate system is solely the property of the military, and the public cannot... even be on it. They can't use it because it is a military asset. But again, that's an example of something that we spend domestically that I think is a viable spending. But if you're saying it's not a war, then why have it?
Bridges?
Why should we pay for bridges?
Tunnels?
You know, things like that. But
they're chopping up the streets in Laredo and putting dirt roads.
So is that a communist nation, though, that we force Americans against the will to pay for interstate systems so that we can move things and stuff around? I don't get the whole we hate health care thing.
Well, health is one thing.
But you want a healthy population.
Health care
is
the largest single portion of our economy. And if you don't take care of it and fix it, it's going to kill us. Don't tell me about the military. Military is not health care. Care system is the largest.
Well,
and
put the greasy sandwiches down, and put the fried chicken down, and start taking better care of yourself. and start.
No, are you telling me you want to create a Kenyan state?
I mean,
well, what do you? Shall we put the freezing burgers down?
How do you make people do that?
How do you make them do that?
Wouldn't that be a dictatorship?
Hey, let's find them if they do that. Let's find them $95.
That's exactly what we would do. It's Affordable Health Care Act.
Oh, but I don't remember anywhere in there that says anything about putting hamburgers down.
Because if you don't, that means we're gonna tax you because you're gonna need this. You're gonna need to go to the doctor because you are gonna be sick, and we're gonna tax you for it, plain and simple.
If you listen to Rush Limbaugh, who is Bill O'Reilly's father, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, fatso drug addict, said, "Why should anybody make me put down a 16-ounce drink or a hamburger if I want it?" He just said it.
You remember all the, like, for instance, failed attempt in New York City to limit the size of drinks to 12 ounces or 14 ounces, whatever, so that they couldn't have liter-sized drinks and all that.
16 ounces.
They said, you got to have reasonable sizes so that it would help. And then they said, no, that's not a free society. You can't do that. And they had everybody from Michelle Bachmann and everybody else saying, he's communist, he's evil. He said, you know, he's mandating sizes on companies, and that's illegal in America. You can't have that. But again, if you're going to start mandating, I can't follow this argument at all. How does this apply to something that, okay, they passed a law that said every community had to have open exchanges so that there's competition in healthcare coverage so that it drives down costs and everybody can get affordable care so that our nation gets healthier and we quit going emergency to emergency at the hospital, which drive up vast costs and go directly to the taxpayers. But in this way, everybody would get healthier because they would have constant, real health care year-round.
Yeah. Well, let me.
And it would be on that open business market so that all the companies could compete fairly with each other.
Well, Rush said that this GOP and Tea Party is hanging by thread. This is what he just said.
The Republican Party is hanging by thread. They're either embarrassed in the base or they don't like the base, you know, the pro-life, the caricature, pro-life, the gun-toting, shotgun-shooting, tobacco-spitting crowd. It wouldn't be embarrassed, wouldn't be bothered at all if that group of people said, oh, would you, we're leaving, man. And even if it meant losing a couple of elections, but the Republicans can't afford any defections because they don't have any people going to make up slack.
So, Rush said that.
I agree with him.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you do. Because I agree with him.
I agree with him. He's saying that we don't have the people can't afford any more defections. That's basically what he's saying.
Well, why do you have defections? Why?
Because there's not been a unified, we don't have a strong enough leader to unify the Republican Party. The days of the great president, the Bush administration is full.
Oh, stop. Wait a minute. Did you have to have a leader?
No, but that sounds like freaking Adolf Hitler or something.
Yeah, ditto heads.
Don't you want a free and open society? Then everybody can have their own opinions and you can have open discussions and debates and everybody has their own way and then you come to a consensus somehow? Not that everybody has to do what the all-powerful leader says. That is the definition of a dictatorship, not a democracy.
Was it the Lord Sith?
Oh, my God. That's horrifying.
Like, I mean, getting back to my thing, my opening question, which you beat around the bush and said that healthcare is going to go up because of this. If I have a gas station one more time, $4 a gallon, and another one moves around the corner selling for $3.50 a gallon, why do I increase my price to $4.50? If I want to
compete. But how's the insurance company going to make any money if everybody has this affordable health care.
Because they now have five times or ten times the amount of people who are now getting premiums. That's how come. Because their bottom line is like 100,000 times more than what's necessary. That's why. The money was going to the board and to the CEO, the profits. But before, when Dick Cheney administration was in office in 2001, the Dick Cheney administration was in office in 2001. The profit for the insurance company was $2 billion.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about that.
2011, was it? Or 2012?
No, 2008.
Oh, 2008. What was the profit of the insurance company? Can you tell me?
No, I can't.
$13 billion. How did it go from $2 billion to $13 billion? You know how it went that way?
How?
They raised their rates every damn year. And in most of these states across the country, during that time span, you could only get one or two insurance companies that could sell insurance in the state.
So people had no choice.
So they had no choice. Now, you're going to get 50 insurance companies or 30 insurance companies in the state. So do you think they're going to make as much profit now? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, they will. See, that's how dumb you are. Because they're going to have more people. Listen, they're going to have more people now who can buy insurance.
But there's going to be more insurance companies.
Listen. What did Henry Ford say when he made his car? This would be great. All us rich people will be driving. No, I don't want to sell the car to rich people. I want to sell the car to the people who work for me. Why? Because he was going to make more money because there's more of them than the rich people. You can sell a million cars versus four or five. So just because they increased the amount of insurance companies, they've now increased the amount of people who are going to have insurance by tenfold.
That's not going to balance out, guys. I mean, I see what you're saying, but no, that's not going to balance out. It's a matter of simple economics. That's not going to balance out.
There are 50 million people in this country without insurance. 50 million. Now, I exaggerate when I say 50 or 30 insurance companies in the state because there isn't. Because the major insurance companies bought out all the other ones. There's only about 10. But that's, no, maybe this is about 30. This is about 30. Because when I get my, this is now the open season. As a former federal worker, I get my insurance premiums, my insurance layout of all the insurance companies is about 30. There's about 60 different plans. Everybody else who joins an exchange and joins and has the ACA in their state is going to have the same chance to choose like I do. So if your nitwit governor would let ACA in the state, you would too. But you know what? There's a light at this end of this dark, dark tunnel. Just because you live in South Carolina, that does not mean you can't get health insurance. Because now you can go anywhere in this country and get it and still live in South Carolina.
So
So it's called freedom of choice.
It's called freedom of choice, which you could not do before the Affordable Care Act was passed.
So it, I mean, isn't that a good thing? It lets you shop anywhere.
Tell me that's not a good thing. You had no choice but to buy the insurance.
Think about it like this, guys. Think from an strictly from an economic standpoint. If a plane flew over Charlotte, North Carolina, right now, and had $1 trillion in its belly, and it opened up and $1 trillion fell from the sky, and everybody got and people just were so excited. There was just all this money raining down from the sky, and people just were loaded, and they just had all this money. The next day when you went into Walmart to buy a pack of chewing gum or an insurance plan, so to speak, that insurance plan now is going to be $150 billion. Why is it going to be $150 billion? Because everybody's got this open access to this plan now. That's what I mean by the premiums are going to go up. And in the long run, I really do think this is going to hurt the American
market. Why do I have to go to Walmart? If I got $1 trillion, I'll go to Target.
Well, are you saying if everybody has unlimited wealth, then everything becomes
worthless? So it doesn't go up.
But everything in the whole world would go up to be competitively priced the way it used to be. So
right.
People could make profit.
But they'll have money.
But if everybody had, I mean, that's a totally flawed analogy. Right. If everybody has infinite wealth, then everything would adjust accordingly. So then you're back to the same.
Well, but that's not the thing, because in what's that rich country over there in from Saudi Arabia? It's the one that we defended. With Kuwait.
Kuwait.
Okay. Everybody in Kuwait are millionaires.
Yep. They share part of the wealth of the oil.
Everybody are millionaires. So you're saying that everything in Kuwait costs $1 million because everybody is a millionaire?
$1 million glass water.
That don't even compute. That don't make any sense.
But
first of all, the money wasn't dropped. These healthcare plans weren't just given to you. You got to pay for them. There are premiums. They don't cost. They're not free.
That's what I think people don't understand. It's
right.
Not a socialist handout from the sky.
It's not single payer. Even single payer you pay for.
It's just the opening of a market so that it forces all companies to compete in every market.
Correct. Correct.
And so that when there's competition, prices go down. That's the whole
thing. Now, and the other thing is, you know, my cousin lives in Canada. She said she wouldn't trade her insurance for this country's insurance for all the money in the world. She said it's a lie what they say about it in Canada.
Oh, I know. But look, those are totally different.
Because they are paying for, see, they pay it through taxes. They pay their health insurance through taxes.
Right.
But everybody's got it. I'm paying for everybody that goes into the emergency room and at a higher cost. I don't want to do that. I want this person to have insurance.
Right.
So the next time they will go to their doctor and not the emergency room. Why should I pay for someone who don't have insurance? Why should I do it? Because that's what I'm doing now, because this person is not insured. You are not insured. I'm paying for your insurance. Why should I do that? You're not my daughter or my son.
Right.
Why do I have to pay for your insurance?
So why do I have to pay for people to get food stamps?
You're not. You ain't paying for them.
Yes, I am. I pay taxes.
Oh, good. Well, good. Okay. Well, that's saying, but why do you have to pay for it? Because there are people in this planet, just like you, who you said before, you were on the dole. There are people.
No, I don't get food stamps.
No, wait a minute. Listen, you didn't have insurance, correct?
So no, I didn't.
Who's paying for you? The public is paying for you. So, I mean, what are you saying? It makes no sense. The public is paying for you because you don't have insurance, but you don't like it when someone's got food stamps because you're paying for them. Does that make any sense?
But I thought we were talking about this earlier. It's that basic.
But he doesn't understand it. What do you have
to do? Basic morality. You want
morality
is that everybody can't at all times be at the very peak of their health and the peak of their game.
Yes, sir.
They're at the peak of their career and the peak of everything. So at different times, people have different levels. Like one person's already paid off their car, the other person just bought a car and has incurred debt or whatever. One person just got the new high-paying job, the other person, you know, just got laid off. That's a bad month for them. So
right.
Everybody's not equal at the same time, and that's why you have a safety net to help people to transition to the next level so that they can, you know, get a job again and pay for their insurance again and their house. And, you know,
and
that's why it's a morality thing, like you said earlier.
Let me listen to Rush, what he said one more time.
The Republicans keep throwing away aspects of their core beliefs under this silly belief that that's how we'll get things done. We'll finally get to what matters. We'll get this tax business off the table, and now we can focus on spending. We're running out of core beliefs to throw away, folks. Obama's victory here has been massive, profound, sweeping, unbelievably large.
So live with it. That's what Rush is telling you. Live with it. You lost. You can't change. There has never been a time in this country that a constitutional amendment was changed. Never. And the only reason why it's this way is because there's a black man in the White House. And everything else people say is bullshit.
This has nothing to do with the race issue, okay? Because I'm an African-American. This has nothing to do with the race.
You are a brainwashed ditto head. You are a brainwashed ditto head. Because you only hear one side of the issue. You can't even understand. What's that?
Did you want to repeat that?
Let me read you. Where was that? Let me read you again, which you probably were not on the air with when we talked about this. You ever hear Lee Atwater? You ever hear him?
No.
No. Okay. Well, see, you're a diddlehead that don't even know your own group of morons, racist morons. You are a diddlehead that don't know
strategists that helped get Reagan elected,
right?
And run, you know, ran his campaigns and everything. But he's an old party
racist. Old party racist. Let's put it like this: he's an old party racist.
Well, he was.
Yeah, I mean, as simple as that.
With something called the Southern Plan.
The Southern Plan. You ever hear that? You ever hear the Southern Plan?
I think I have heard of the Southern Plan before.
You heard the Southern Plan?
I think I have heard of it though.
Just the gist of it was the Republicans.
Let me read this.
After the Great Depression, the Republicans got voted out of office for causing the economic collapse, and Democrats went in and they saved the economy. They got everything going up again. Then World War II started, and they won World War II, and they also during that time created all the safety nets, if you will, what's called the New Deal. And the New Deal was, you know, hey, you can...
Well, yeah, I know the New Deal.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, good. You went to school.
But anyway, if you remember, that's what I called the greatest generation because we accomplished great things, and the country became number one in the world, and we had the boominess economy, we had the best, you know, army, we had the... most growth, the most factories, the most everything.
Right.
Because it all paid for through these programs of the New Deal. So then, they did not, the Republicans couldn't get back into office and take over the Congress for almost 40 years after that. They couldn't get a majority. So they came up with a strategy in late 60s, early 70s called the Southern Plan. It was to appeal to old school races to get a block in the South, because this was at the time when MLK was getting civil rights
attention and didn't mess her and on, then got shot and LBJ actually pushed it through. So they got they formulated this strategy called the Southern Strategy to get a block vote out of the South, and with it they could have a majority vote during an election because the rest of the country will be broken between different regions.
Right.
And they can have one solid block vote. And that's how they actually retook the Congress and got Reagan elected.
Yeah, okay.
So
now,
he took power. But this is
now, let me read you. Lee Atwater, who was the mastermind of the Reagan strategy, in an interview in 1981, the year of the Reagan Revolution, Atwater was talking to an academic interviewer. This is what he said. You start out in 1954 by saying the N-word.
No, I heard when y'all were talking about that.
Okay, I'm going to read to you again because it didn't sink in. By 1968, you can't say the N-word anymore. It hurts you. It backfires. So you tell yourself, like, forced busing, or use the words states' rights, something so abstract. Now you're talking cutting taxes and all these things, and you're talking about totally economic things, and a byproduct of them is blacks get hurt worse than whites. We want to cut this. It's much more abstract than ever. The busing thing and a hell of a lot more abstract than the N-word. And then you say defund Obamacare. And everybody knows why. It's all about the black man in the White House. They never thought it would happen. And the very first 5 minutes after his election, they were saying, we will not, McConnell said, we will not let this man have anything. And I guarantee you in that room, they use the N-word. And if you don't think they did, you're a complete moron. That's what they said. And they've been using it ever since. This daggone healthcare program was created by the Heritage Foundation. Do you know who they are? The Heritage Foundation. And Mitt Romney took it and adopted it in Massachusetts because that was the only way he could get elected in Massachusetts. And then Obama said, you know what? I'd like to do that. And you know what they told him? Hell no. You know what's going to happen? We want you to penalize anybody who doesn't buy into it. Because they thought that would be enough to kill the program. And Obama wouldn't want it. That was a poison pill amendment. But you know what? It backfired. It backfired. Because they knew as soon as people started seeing that the premiums going down, this was a done deal. So you know what they did? They tried to block it. These Republicans passed it. It passed the House. It passed the Senate. It was debated for 2 years. And then it went and was signed by the president. And then they said, we're going to fight it in the courts. And the racist Supreme Court said, hey, ain't nothing wrong with this. So now you guys, 18%, you got 87 members of 435 that are trying to kill this government. 82 members. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, now, 30 bucks. So they want to kill. And they keep using the word, the American people want. That's bullshit. The American people ain't want this. The daggone, the whole country went Democrat. There are more. And if he says, oh, no, we will elect overwhelmingly. That is garbage. more Democrats voted and by numerical statistics for Democrats in the House than Republicans. Well, and the only reason why the Republicans won is because they redistricted the districts to get them to win.
I don't believe that. That's a simple, a racist argument there. Redrawing, redistricting lines. It's a racist argument.
Wait a minute. Do you know that more Democrats voted for Republicans during the last election? More Democrats more Democrats voted for more House representatives than Republican House representatives. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, see, what do you know about government? You don't pay attention. Just look up. You got a computer? Look it up while we're talking. It'll tell you. And I think it was by 10 million or 15 million. They lost it. The only reason why they won is because they redistricted the areas where they could win in. I was the 8th district vice chair of my district. They redistricted me out so they could win my district. They wouldn't have won it if they didn't redistrict it. And that's how they got these core small pockets. But why didn't they win the states? They didn't win the states. There are more Democrats in states than Republicans, senators. And senators control more people than Republicans. So how can they say that America wants this when the states, there are more Democratic senators than Republican senators? And there's two senators in each state now. If you didn't know that, I'll do another. Okay, therefore, if there are more senators than a Democrat, how could you say America does not want the ACA? How can you say that? It doesn't make any common sense, numerically. It doesn't make any common sense. There's 100 senators, is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes, super state, yes.
If there are more Democrats, how can you say that more Americans didn't want health care? How can you say that? They wouldn't have got elected if that was the case. Don't talk about the House seats. The House seats are redistricted. Right. Senate seats can't be redistricted because there's two in every state. But you see, House seats can be redistricted. And that's how they won. But overwhelmingly, numerically, more Americans voted Democrats in the House than Republicans were voted in the House.
Well,
and if you don't believe it, look it up.
I don't understand this whole argument about, and we should probably move on. We've got 9,000 other items in the news besides the Affordable Care Act. But even given, if there's genuine opposition to it and these lawmakers want to make a difference, this is a law that they wrote and they passed. Now, if they want to change it or if they want a new law to replace it, and do something different.
They should write it and pass it.
They should pass it just like
right.
They did this one.
Why don't they write it? Why don't they write a law?
It's the first time ever they've held the whole country hostage
right.
And shut down things. I mean, what do national parks or the military pay or...
got to do with the Obamacare.
Anything.
Nothing.
Has to do with health care. Nothing. So before...
I don't want us to digress before we're getting completely off. I do want to ask, what about... I'm sorry, sir. What's your, Mr. Austin, not you, the other gentleman. I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name's Thomas.
Tom?
Yes, hi.
Oh, okay. Mr. Tom, your opinion on Obama's plan to award amnesty to all these illegal aliens. What is your take on that? I think about 11 million of them he wants to give amnesty to?
No.
Well, did you hear that?
I don't know of any Obama plan to award amnesty. I think that the Congress has been working
stop it right there. Obama can't do that. That's not his job. Tell him that. He doesn't understand that.
It's okay.
No, it's not okay. You can't let him get away with that. The President of the United States does not award anything to anybody. He can't do it. Your Republican regressive Congress has to do that, not the president. So stop saying the president does this and does that. If you don't know that, you need to go back to school. And I already know you graduated from college. So if you don't know any better, stop saying those things.
Well,
the president does not do that.
He can push for legislation to allow that.
No, he cannot. That's the last thing. Let him do it. How can he do it? The Republicans own the Congress. How can he do it? Don't the Republicans run the Congress? The House? The House is the one that makes the laws. The Senate does not make laws. The House makes the laws. So how can the president do that? So right away, you hear this nonsense from that moron O'Reilly, who was nothing but a daggone beggar in New York City running around chasing ambulances 15, 20 years ago, and you're going to listen to him? My 4-year-old grandson is more than him.
Well,
that's not the way it works.
So.
You need to go back to school and see how a bill works.
I know how a bill is passed.
No, you don't. You keep saying Obama. You keep saying the president. The president doesn't have nothing to do with a bill being passed.
Only the Congress.
Only the Congress. You keep saying it. Why do you keep saying it?
He can prop legislation.
He can do what?
He can prop for legislation.
Prompt?
Yes, push for legislation.
So can you. I mean, he has no more power than you do. Because the Republicans run the House.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't matter which party the Congress makes a law.
That's right.
In power. The president never has any power. He can ask for anything all day long. He could ask for, you know, hey, guys, give me $1 billion.
Right.
And a
motorcycle.
Mansion, you know, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't understand that whole argument, but yeah, there is a need, guaranteed, there is a need to address the immigration problem. We've had a substantial influx ever since they relaxed the laws under Reagan with the labor laws. We've brought in tons and tons and tons of these undocumented workers so that companies could use them and pay under minimum wage to provide health care.
Now
we've got, I think it's something like up to 20 million illegals in America and all this stuff. So, yeah, there does have to be something, and I think the Congress, you know, all the people have recognized this, and they're working on trying to pass some kind of legislation to address it. Now, I do know under Obama that they've toughened all the border security. They've had more crackdowns, more arrests than any administration for the last 30 years.
700 miles of fence.
Yeah, they've sent more people back than any administration in history.
Right.
But that's all just, you know, band-aids on the thing. But the Congress does have to address immigration. They do have to change the laws, and they have to do something with all the people here. Now, the Congress can vote to put them all in internment camps.
Right.
And then put them on boats and float them out into the ocean. Or they can buy them all mansions and give them $1 million for having made it. You know, I don't know what they're going to do, but that's up to the Congress alone. And it's going to probably never happen under President Obama's watch, no matter what, because they've been debating this for 30 years now. It will probably continue on for another 10 or 20 before they finally pass the law. But I have no idea what it'll look like by the time it gets finished.
Okay. I was just curious what you were thinking about this whole amnesty-based issue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just like with the health care. They've been trying to pass health care since World War II or before.
Before.
They just now passed it.
Yeah.
So I have no faith that Congress will actually get his act together. I wish they would address it so that we could get going on solutions.
So the question is,
I don't think it'll happen.
Look, they didn't like the Voting Rights Act. They didn't like Social Security. None of these constitutional laws are the same as what they were when they were first put on print. Everyone has changed. And that is the problem why they don't want it. One, because he was a first black man in the White House. Number two is he got health care for... Now, everybody isn't getting health care now, you know.
I think it's only 20 million more people.
25, 26 more million people. That's half of what's out there that didn't happen before. So that might include you, mister. But the thing is that these things will be tweaked. If they said, no, let's don't pass the Voting Rights Act now. It's too soon. It's not going to work because, you know, these people, they're just dumb. Let's wait another year.
They might be coming.
And they're probably communist Kenyans. Or maybe socialist communist Kenyans.
Maybe they're fascist.
And fascist communist socialist Kenyans. The thing is that you don't wait. You pass it and tweak it. You fix it. You don't wait for your daggone tire to blow out. If you see it's leaking gas, leaking air, you go and fix it. You get it patched or you buy a new tire. We don't need to get a new Obamacare. We need to fix this.
We need a new president. That's what we need.
We're going to get one.
We're going to get one. Hillary will be here, and she will make it single payer. And then what are you going to be? Then what are you going to be? Because she'll get that passed in 8 years because you guys will be in office after 2016. You might lose the Congress in 2014 because of this bull that you're doing right now.
I support John Boehner, and I support him in standing up, and I support him. I understand why he's doing it, but I support him.
Listen, John Boehner wants this done.
Let me ask you something real quick. Because this is totally separate, divorced from what's going on. I don't agree with extra constitutional remedies. So, in my world, the Congress writes laws, and the president can sign them yes or no, and then the Supreme Court can verify that they're constitutional or not. That's the three part section that our Constitution created for our government. I think the Congress, you know, wrote a law. It's the law of the land now. Everybody has followed it. If they change it in the future, if they tweak it, if they do anything else, that's all they're right. That's all fine and good. I don't agree with any party, anybody, for any reason, who throws a temper tantrum and shuts down the entire government and holds it hostage until they get their way. And what they say is they want to repeal this one law. They want to defund it.
They don't want to repeal the law. They just want to defund it.
That's still the same result. You're trying to stop the law.
That's right.
But see, they're doing it in an extra constitutional way. If they want,
they're not doing
law,
it in a constitutional way.
Unconstitutional. So my whole point is though that you could do that with anything. Like say for instance,
the Second Amendment, gun regulation.
Well, okay, but like,
let's repeal that.
Well, say a bunch of real liberal congressmen get in there,
right,
and they want to stop all funding of the government. Default on all of our loans internationally until they stop manufacturing guns or some extreme trade.
Right.
Like
what are you going to say about that?
That's illegal. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong. I think if they want to do that, they should pass a law outlawing everything, every part
right.
of the Second Amendment. Right. So, again, I don't understand it. It'd be like if they shut down the whole government because, you know, I heard a lot of people being upset. I was upset that the government is now spying on everybody because of the USA Patriot Act. It gives the government 100% right to, you know, read your emails, listen to your phone calls, do everything else, which you never had before. So why aren't they shutting the government down for that, to repeal that, you know? Why aren't they shutting it down for anything? You know, we mentioned seatbelts.
Well, that was Republican legislation there, though,
That's okay.
Yeah, but isn't that wrong? That's a police state. I mean, that's wrong, too. But what I'm saying is the remedy for that, even though I vigorously oppose government spying on its citizens. I think that's wrong. But the remedy is to repeal the law or to revise the law and correct the problems. And they've already revised that law about six times to fix things and give oversight. And
as a matter of fact, the new head of the FBI didn't even want it passed.
Right.
He stopped
it. But anyway, that's the correct way. They've gone back in now over and over, and they voted, and they put in panels, and they put in oversight, and they put in restrictions over how much they could read and how, you know, they could act with court order or not, you know, that type of thing.
And the place in Utah now that can read every email.
Yeah, I know.
Every fact. Yeah, but he doesn't know.
I'm just making a point. Right. But again, this is something that the process is, I don't think, like, if I don't like that law, it isn't my right to go and shut the government down or to go firebomb the government or attack the government until they change it and defund it. It's my right to go and vote and put and hopefully get somebody in there that thinks that way and changes the law in a constitutional manner. And I don't understand. If you want the law changed, if you don't want the law that the Republicans wrote and that the Democrats passed with their help, if you don't want that law, then simply write another one. But go and repeal it. You know, elect officials that will do that. Why are you shutting down the government
right.
and, like, starving children? And
well, let him answer that.
Oh,
why?
We didn't shut down the government now. They didn't agree to a budget being passed. That's all.
But that's shutting down the government. Yeah, and listen, wait a minute.
That's right.
You remember, listen, do not talk about Obama because he has nothing to do with this. Only the Congress can do this. Stop saying the president. Stop saying Obama. Only the Congress can shut down the government.
So they did. They quit paying the bill.
So they stopped paying the bill. They're the ones that pay the bill.
Why is that?
Like, I pay your health care bill when you go to the hospital. If I go to South Carolina and tell them not to accept you, I am cutting you out. This is the same thing here. Obama does not control that. That's not in the executive power. That's only in the Congress.
I'll give you an example of something else.
I just gave it a guess.
I know. I'm giving you an example of one of the things. In this one time out extremist, we have a group of people, I don't care what party, that have decided they don't like a bill.
Right.
And so they have voted to not fund the government. They're holding up funding the government. So it shuts down. Let's take that to the other extreme. Let's say, because, you know, back there in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there were actual Communist Party people, very more communists that sat in the Congress because it was a viable party. And after the Cold War, it became so pariah in America that now you don't actually have communists serving as an official party anyway. You know, they don't get elected into Congress. But you did actually have back then. So let's say there was the group of them that decided to change the country into a communist country, and they couldn't get the law passed, they couldn't get anybody to repeal the Constitution, and they couldn't get anybody to change everybody's affiliation in the whole country to communism. So they just said that we were going to pass the budget, and they shut the whole country down. Would that be valid? I mean, no. Right? That's just absolutely wrong.
But you see,
that's a group of extremists holding
yeah.
the country hostage
yeah, yeah.
for their...
You're talking to someone that knows Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. You're going too deep. You've got to talk in shorter sentences.
I'm sorry.
Please.
I just don't understand.
I still haven't gotten past the gasoline going from $4 to $3.50, and then
no,
I'm going to raise my price.
I still haven't
gotten past that.
The whole thing is we vote for people. We have elections.
They don't believe in that anymore. They don't believe it. You keep trying to make sense. You can't make sense. You can't get blood from a stone. They don't believe in the Constitution.
We have a Constitution and a democracy.
They don't want it anymore.
Don't tell me we don't believe in this Constitution. And this administration has trampled over the Constitution. Trampled.
Name one thing. Name one.
Well,
one thing.
He is just totally thrown constitutional.
Name one thing where he's trampled over the Constitution.
This whole Affordable Health Care Act.
Wait a minute. That's not the president. That's Congress. What? Stop saying it's the president.
Congress.
Obama did not write this law. The Congress did. And that's why you people are racist. That's what you don't understand.
Are you calling me racist and I'm black, Michael?
You can be black all you want. You're a racist. I'm telling you. Ain't Obama. The president had nothing to do with this law. It was the Congress that wrote this law. And a Republican Congress at that. From the Heritage Foundation. They didn't even get it. They didn't write it. They just took the entire Heritage Foundation and put it in their law. And Mitt Romney took it from them. So you've got to stop saying. You people keep saying the hair, the Obama. It's not Obama.
I'm just asking.
He can't come up with one cent. The when did the president?
But listen, even if, say, a president committed a crime, even if he outright committed a crime, he was spying on his opponents and sent in a privately hired team of thugs to steal.
I saw that movie.
And he got caught, and he was going to get impeached and had to resign. Even at that case, even at that extreme of an unconstitutional dictatorial thug, we have a constitution to follow, and you have elections, and you elect another person. I don't understand this. A law was passed by Congress. If you don't like the law, change the law. Write another one. What's that got to do with the president? Zero.
The president doesn't. And I asked you, give me one instance where he has trampled over the Constitution.
Well,
he
that's what Bill O'Reilly says. That's
what? What's that?
That's what Bill O'Reilly says.
Well,
forget Bill O'Reilly. What do you say? You're a damn graduate, college graduate. What do you say?
I'll show you a good example. This is a good example of Obama actually following the law. And this is something that I thought was actually well done. Kind of sad by it, but I thought it was well done. When the debacle happened in Syria, and we're getting people killed, and the whole situation is getting out of control, and then they have a use of chemical weapons, which is technically against UN law, and it's a war crime. Okay? So he called on Congress to give him the authority to invade, or to do something, and to take out Assad. Right? And they called. They didn't. So then he didn't have the constitutional authority there. So even though by the War Powers Act, which isn't in the Constitution, but it is, but anyway, by the War Powers Act, he could have unilaterally gone in on his own and attacked
for 90 days.
For 90 days before.
But see, the reason why he didn't do it is because, he's a weak leader. And number two, his numbers are already falling. I mean, that would have just been his death ticket right there. If he did, that he didn't go against Congress, I still think he should have went. See, that's the problem with his foreign policy that I don't like. He plays pity pat with a lot of these terrorists. Like out of the other day, he just called a Benajad out of the thin air. I mean, why are you playing pity pat?
He was running for office. He said he was doing that in the debate. He said that with the debate with Romney. I will do this.
Well, look,
not Romney, the other guy, McCain.
Let me just say something. To finish my point, I'm just trying to make a...
Your points are too long. He don't understand that.
I think a president should talk to every other leader of every other nation. That's called diplomacy. He should be talking to them all. And maybe nothing will get done, or maybe something will get done.
That guy's a nut job.
Well, it doesn't matter. He's the leader of a country, and until he is removed, he is the leader of the country. So at least you have to talk to him. It's just like that nut job over in North Korea.
Reagan speak to Gorbachev?
Even better.
He should have been Reagan should have been impeached, He spoke to that communist thug.
Well, anyway, listen, it doesn't matter. They had all those secret meetings and actually set up. You
remember I guess so,
Reagan
right?
And
Bush Sr.
It doesn't matter. So listen, I'm just curious. I think, though, it is just constitutional. It's what they should do. And he was being constitutional. I don't think it matters what his numbers are because he can't run for re-election.
That's
he
right.
He doesn't care.
It don't matter.
But what he did was he asked for the bill to go to war, didn't get it, and so he didn't go. A non-constitutional.
Yeah, but you make that too simplistic. No,
he could have gone to war on his own.
That's too simplistic. He walked softly and carried a big stick. He sent the cruisers over there with the carrier and said, look, if you don't do this, we're going to blow you to kingdom come. We're not just going to take out your assets, your chemical assets, because don't do pinprick.
My point was.
Well, I think there needs to be a regime change in Syria. Like, I really think we need to go in and we need to change regime in Syria.
You know what? Since you didn't grab, you were shooting squirrels and I was shooting real people, I don't want to go there. Okay? I don't want to go there. You?
I
maybe you need to go there.
My whole point was I was showing the president who followed the law. He didn't have an empathy, so I was, again, he was saying he was so unconstitutional.
But the problem was he used the stick, and he used walk softly with the Constitution. And what happened was those thugs over there only saw the stick. They didn't see the Constitution. The Constitution was for our benefit here. He could have went, and I tell you what, if they don't, those carriers, those crews are still sitting out there. If they don't come to the table, he will go in and get them. Oh, I think it was just like,
what's that other guy,
terrorist, number one in the world, and 80% of his own cabinet said no, and he went anyway. What was the name of that guy? God, tall guy. Osama something or other.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Walk softly? When you got daggone Ronald Reagan acting, smiling like grandfather, and he had Bush Sr., who was former head of the CIA, carrying weapons to the Congress, to the countries, with daggone Oliver North going to set up and then doing it? Are you joking me? Against the law? He should have been impeached. Because every one of his national security team was on trial. Every one of them. Every last one of them. And I was off third time. So you tell me they did all that and that old grandfather didn't know Jack? Maybe he didn't. He could have been senile at the time.
Well, anyway.
So, Mike, you and I have argued about Benghazi before. Mr. Tom, what are your points? Because I believe this administration lied about the whole Benghazi thing, and I just think that was so wrong.
So what?
And I think that we needed to.
But
what does Benghazi
have to do with anything in this world? It's nothing but another outpost.
Let me address this. I'll say on Benghazi. This is one thing that does bother me. Okay.
Let me say this real quick. I just don't like how that man got the U.S. ambassador just got killed like that, and Obama wanted to sweep it under the rug.
Because it was a CIA outpost, and they didn't want it to be known. What the heck is wrong with you? It was a CIA outpost.
Yeah. So there's two problems.
That's the reason.
Okay, but there's two problems. One, it was a CIA operation. We were doing a soft overthrow
right.
of Libya.
That's
what Russia had called us on and everything else. That's why they were furious, because we were participating in Tunisia, in Libya. You know that whole Arab Spring? Yeah, we were funding and causing and arming them. So we were going country to country. And we especially wanted to take out Libya because we have a long history of not liking Libya and having terrorist problems with them. So we were taking them out, and there was a strike.
Oh, we lost him. He's gone. I don't know what happened.
They had to. Oh.
He dropped.
Okay. To address the Benghazi thing for a minute, one of the problems,
right,
in what I was fixing to get to, and this really irritates me, the Republicans like to play this game, you know, blaming Obama for that. But again, the Congress controls the purse. And under the Congress, they have every year of his presidency cut funding to his security, to his international funding, everything. The embassy security funding has been cut 6 years funding.
70%.
Okay.
It was cut 10% a year.
They cut it right before that last attack, too. And then they turned around and said, how did you let this happen?
Right.
They are defunding it, and then they call it.
But see, in this particular case, was not the case of defunding.
This whole thing in general.
In general, yes.
In that game, how they say he is causing.
But
then they're defunding at the same
time. The thing is that, to Benghazi. Benghazi was a secret CIA base, and that's why they did not have the amount of coverage that they would have. But they did have a contingent of Marines very close by that could have been called in. That makes, oh, that poor man was killed there. He was working in there. He knew all those people in there. They knew he was in there, but it was a CIA base, and that's why we'd not have made a major thing of it. Because we'd have to say why all these people were there. And that man was working for the CIA, and they don't want that to come out.
You know, when you mentioned him earlier, but Saddam gassed all the people in Iran, and they called for a UN investigation, and we blocked
them.
Because we were the one that gave them the weapon, and we would have been on trial.
Yes.
But anyway, these things.
Hello, who's calling?
Hi, this is Randy. How are you doing?
Randy, Mr. Chairman, Chairman of the Democratic Party in North Carolina. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm sorry, Michael. We're getting ready for a big event, and I had to find my way up to this place in Asheville. I apologize.
That's all right. That's all right. No problem. Can you give us a quick word? Because I know you don't have time. What's going on?
Today is National Manufacturing Day, and I visited a great plant up here in the mountains of the state where somebody's actually taking their time, Buck Stove owner, to save jobs and really believe in making things in America, which was heartening, and paying people good health plans. You know?
What? No.
Yes. Someone came in there and said that while I was there, you can make this stuff cheaper in China, and he said, forget about it. I've been here 42 years.
But isn't that fantastic? Isn't that the American story right there in a nutshell? This is an American that is running a business that is paying Americans top dollar, best benefits, and keeping the products here and the manufacturing here in America.
And just giving them health care.
That's like the poster.
And we have someone we've been talking to for 2 hours who's on the other phone waiting. I don't know what happened. He got hung up, but he's back on the line. See, I know he's listening. But so tell us about the do you know anything about how the exchanges are working here?
Well, I know in North Carolina, it's a disaster only because we turned away everybody and we don't have enough competition. So the Republican Party that believes in competition created a situation where there's little competition. They cut potential health coverage for 500,000 people, which then hurts the economic viability of affordable health care because now there's not the guaranteed coverage for the folks that really needed the Medicare coverage. I mean, the bottom line, it's a great program nationwide. I still believe in universal health care, and I hope that we just fix this thing and actually go to what every other industrialized country in the world does, which is provide, health care for its citizens.
Well, I had a gentleman on the phone a little while ago, and he's back on the line. He's listening. I know he is because I can see his number. But he said that, this is going to increase everybody's insurance. He doesn't understand that competition doesn't increase your insurance.
No, that's you're correct. It's one of these canards. I mean, the bottom line is we're paying for this. I'm going to tell you a little story. Last weekend, a couple guys I know, and these are kind of the typical working class guys because I come out of construction industry, came out of my house, and I've known these guys for years, played sports with them and all. And one guy tells me that he's losing his job, and he blamed it on Obamacare. And I said, what are you talking about? And then it turned out they were just cutting back jobs and essentially they're jokingly blaming everything on Obamacare. It's Obamacare's fault if the sun doesn't come up. It's Obamacare's fault if his wife looks at him the wrong way. You see what I mean? It's just one big propagandized situation. At the end of our conversation, he admitted to me, he said, the boss is just furloughing people because business is slow. And I just wanted to say it was Obamacare because I hear that on the radio.
Yeah, well, this guy listens to Bill O'Reilly, so I know Bill O'Reilly when he was a coffee gopher in chasing ambulance stories for NBC in New York City out of Long Island. That was his beat. So he had to go to the dark side, or else he wouldn't have had the show. But anyway, can you leave us with a word, Mr. Chairman, about where we're going to be in the because people can get health care. They don't have to get it in North Carolina. They can go to any place else in this country to get health care now.
Right. You can get health care. The Democratic Party is rolling out information to help people to sign up. It's important that people sign up by expanding the coverage and picking up 30 million plus people. It's going to help all Americans. And, you know, the bottom line is we were paying for it anyway. And what we're fighting is ignorance. I was at the bank the other day, and a guy came in and said he started kvetching about health care. And I said, well, tell me what the problems are. And he said, oh, well, we have 380 million people in this country. We're only doing this for a small amount of people. And I said, first off, we have about 310 million. I don't know where you added the other 70 million. And secondly, who told you this fact about who? I said, you're already paying for it. People that go to get emergency coverage, we all know this. The
Absolutely.
Insurance companies were already charging us for this. I mean, all we're doing now is going to a more rational system. But I want to leave you with something positive, and here's positive for you. So, you know, Renee Elmers came out yesterday and made a statement that she wasn't going to forego her congressional salary while they have the country, you know, held hostage.
Yeah. Hey,
we all jumped on it, and now today she issued a statement and said she, too, the wife of a doctor who couldn't make ends meet on a doctor's salary and a congressional salary, will now forego her congressional salary and join in solidarity after her horrible gaffe yesterday. So that shows you that when we pay attention and we shine the light on this hypocrisy, we can win this battle. Because you know what? The light is on our side.
Are we doing a fundraiser for her for so she can help pay a mortgage?
Wow.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. We should pass the hat. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard go when your husband's a doctor. I get it.
I mean, to tell you, those doctors.
Actually, if you do pay attention, there's been several groups on the conservative side that said that they would fund any of the House members and all that want to forego their salary so that they can look good. So they're going to get paid either way, don't you worry.
Of course they will.
They've already been.
What are we doing for the election in November?
This coming election, we're out there messaging and encouraging people to get out and vote. I mean, you have an important election in Charlotte.
Yes,
you've got your city council and your mayoral election. And we're continuing to push the message that people need to pay attention every year and get out and vote. I think we're going to be looking good for next year. I mean, if you looked at the numbers, 53%, give or take, of North Carolinians now have a negative view of the policies of the General Assembly and what's going on. I mean, people are starting to pay attention, and now that they're feeling it and understanding that this extreme ideological turn is affecting their life, I have a real strong feeling that we're going to do well in 2014.
But is it possible that we could get a couple of seats out of this?
Oh, I think we're going to pick up seats. My game plan originally was that we would stair-step this and try to make pickups in 2014 and 2016 and 2018. I think that if we push hard, we'll do better than I thought in 2014. I mean, you can't essentially, you know, stick a finger in the eye of hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians across all political parties and not pay a price for it.
Yeah,
who are they representing? Right?
Pope. They're representing our Pope.
I think I
started writing a song. You know the song, The Grinch That Stole Christmas? I'm changing the lyrics to, you know, You're a Mean One, Mr. Pope.
I like that. Thank you. Well, Mr. Chair, I want to thank you for coming on. And next week we're going to have a repeat show, but the following week, I'm in the process of putting together a healthcare summit here, and I'd like you to come down, and I will let you know.
I would like to come down.
Okay?
Yeah.
I would let you know, and here in Charlotte, and I know you run around here like you got track shoes on, so, you know.
I have. I've been all over the state, so I'm getting a good feeling about how the people feel. I was in New Hanover last week. I was in Cleveland County. Second time I've been up in Asheville. I was down in Charlotte. Look, you can feel a palpable sense that people are starting to wake up, and they're starting to say, you know what, it's time to put on the boxing gloves. It's time to throw punches here.
Well, that's because when the people woke up, they realized that suddenly, overnight, it was 1860, and they don't like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we turn it back in time far enough, we're going to start using leeches for our medicine. I mean, when everyone talks about the good old days, they fail to remember what the old days were. I used to sit down and arbitrate fights between lawyers and doctors in my family, and the lawyers would say, when you were bleeding us with leeches, we were writing the Constitution. You know, the good old days were not always technologically that advanced. Just remember what you wish for. And you're right, nobody could vote back then.
I want to thank you, and Mr. Chairman, fiscal and dollars. That's who you're going to be. You're going to be the man writing it down, straightening this all out.
I will be happy to come down here. Thanks a lot. You take it easy.
Okay, thank you.
We'll have some.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was the chairman of the Democratic Party of North Carolina. Yes?
Maybe we should do that sometime.
That's right. You are Republican. Well, let me see. I have Ms. Tamika holding on, and I have, we have our man back, Mr. Dent. Mr. Dent, are you with us? Mr. Dent? Hello there. Are you there?
I guess.
Well, he's there. He can hang up.
Miss,
he might be listening to the computer.
Lady.
Let's go to Lady Tamika.
And I think.
And how are you, my dear?
Hello, Mr. Lawson. How are you?
How are you?
Oh, I'm fabulous. It's Friday.
What side did you hear?
Huh?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I said I'm fabulous because it's Friday.
Good. Tell us something nice. Tell us something nice that's going to be going on this weekend or some thoughts for us.
Well, you know, interesting. I just came off of a 2-day silent retreat where I didn't really talk to anyone. I think you were probably one of very few people I talked to in the past 2 days. Just getting refocused and realigned for what needs to happen in my life. And so I kind of shut down the computer, shut down my phone, and just became still for a minute just so I can get clear.
Okay. I don't know if I can do that.
It's one of the most rewarding things ever. I sat with one of my friends who asked me, he said, if you could do anything in the world today, what would you do? And so I said, I'll probably be sitting by the lake and just kind of chilling out and watching the kids play and maybe eating some seafood. He said, well, what would all that cost you? And I said, we started doing the tally. It didn't cost me anything. He said, so what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I guess I'm going to the lake. Interesting, right?
Going to
very,
the lake.
Very, very interesting. Absolutely.
Well, sometimes what I'd like to do is that the painting the picture of the lake sitting nothing reminds me of what I'd like to do on a beach. So lay down on the beach in the nice sun, lay there with the radio playing soft, and not do nothing.
Awesome. So what would that cost you to do that?
I plan on doing next weekend in Puerto Vallarta.
Awesome. So take a picture of that and make sure you post it and say, this is what I love to do. I love to do this, and it didn't cost me nothing.
Hey, well, what can you leave us with on this Friday that we can remember everyone by? And listen, you got to remind us now before you do this. Your show is called
The Bee Experience with Lady Tamika on WGIB 103.3 every Monday from 1 to 2.
And for those and those people who are, as Rush Limbaugh says, in real limbo, what does your show focus on?
My show, and see, that was part of what I was going to say to you when I was just asking you about what would you do. Part of that whole process for me was to be able to get clear on why. You know, sometimes you hear people say, why do you do what you do? And for a long time, I really couldn't answer that because I thought I knew what I was clear on. until I really sat still to really, really get clear. And my clearness brought upon me really searching to see who I am as an individual apart from what I do. So although I do the radio show, who I am really says that I'm a divine expression of God that loves people, loves to see individuals grow. I just happen to be a mommypreneur, which is a mommy that does business. And then I went a little deeper and I said, why am I a mommypreneur? What does that look like? And I said, you know, I thought it had a lot to do with my children, but it had a lot to do with me having my own freedom to be able to make decisions and to live life the way I want to live it. And so one of the things I just wanted to share with your listeners is that never take for granted the time that you get to be free, no matter what it is that you would like to do. See what's more important to you. What's your why for why you do what you do? I know you're passionate, Mr. Lawson, about being able to make sure that the people are informed,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
And so even with this platform here, there's something burning down within you that is really a core passion for why you do what you do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely correct.
And so for me, I had to really get clear on that for me. And so what I do is I actually provide a platform for my show. Mainly, it's for entrepreneurs, businesspreneurs or whatever, but mainly for women. You know, I believe that every individual have a story to tell for why they do what they do. I just provide that platform so that other people can actually hear amazing stories by amazing individuals who really just want to live what I call their own beat, what they were designed to be in this earth to do. So that's what my show is about.
And what do you think most people think about when they are sitting still?
Well, first, what most people think about is, and I did the same thing, is that, oh, my God, I am wasting time. I'm not doing anything. And in that process of them doing that, it's only because they're just so busy all the time. They never take time to really take care of themselves. So
right.
Me being able to sit still for 2 days was so profound for me being able to take care of myself. It was so important. It gave me so much clarity on moving forward right. and why I do what I do. And that's more important than anything else. I know you've heard people say, people don't want to know how much you know until they know how much you care. But we never get to express that when we're always in the hustle and bustle of things, when we're always working. People really don't know that you really care as much as you care unless you're really clear on why you do what you do. It has to be a defining core for why you do what you do.
Right.
And I'm very
Absolutely
clear
right.
now on why I do what I do.
And so you would leave us with what?
Hey, do what you do.
I
will leave you with do what you do because you love it so much. And if you love it, love it, love it, they'll pay you well for it. You just got to know what you do.
Well, I really think that's a great statement. And we look forward to your little informational segment every week on our show. And
awesome. Thank you so much.
When can we listen to you and where?
I would like to, first before I tell them that thank you for this opportunity to be able to be a part of your segment. I was listening in and you're talking about a lot of politics and stuff like that. And so the world is really in a fear mode now. So to be able to just come on and just share just a little bit to empower someone, to let them know, not so much to empower them, but to inspire them, because that is
right.
something that happens internally. And so I just want to inspire folks that don't be discouraged by what you see going on. You know, it's all a part of a process. You got to stay focused
right.
on really who you are and why you're here. And if you can stay focused to that, you know, I would never try to segue over into what you're doing because that's not what my core is all about. But I listen to what you do because that's what the core what you do. We're both inspiring people from two different angles, but we're all just trying to get people to be awake. To be aware of what's going on, but in a very positive and conscious way. So everyone can really be a part of what I do which is on every Monday on WGIV 103.3 from 1 to 2. They can listen live on WGIVcharlotte.com, and it's the B Experience for Lady Tamika.
And that's Lady Tamika. Have a great weekend, and thank you for that little bit of peaceful thought.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right,
bye.
And that was Lady Tamika sending us out of here with some nice, peaceful messages.
And wake up.
And wake up. Well,
that's very nice.
Next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of waking up, you're going to wake up on the beach
somewhere. Next weekend, I'll be out of here.
I see how it's
been. I'm hoping that my what do you call, nose is stopping running.
You're cold.
I called it on. It's I felt bad today, and then I'm starting to come down a little bit.
A little running. Remedy of vacation, a little dash of sun, and little
lemon coke, little apple pie,
I think you'll feel better. Got to get away.
Yeah, that should be well. Well, so what do you think about our call of Mr. Dent?
Interesting. I think we spent a long time beating.
But see, here's the thing. See, you want to take him to school.
I know.
And go
but
and
he don't,
go to. And,
he didn't want to go
see,
to school.
He don't want to go to school. He's already finished in college. You think he knows it all?
Well, that's what Rush told him.
No, it wasn't Rush. It was O'Reilly.
Oh, O'Reilly, that's right.
God O'Reilly.
Told him that
it wasn't so.
If you weren't paying attention,
O'Reilly just killed Jesus.
There's new books out.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. Go get today.
Even help the enemy.
That's right.
Enough.
So you see, the thing is, you know, what's the old saying about stupid is stupid.
Stupid is a stupid thing.
That's right. You cannot get blood from a stone.
Right.
You explain to them that if this place costs $4 and this place costs $3.50, why am I going to go up on my rates if the guy stays at $3.50?
We not only do we have to have democracy and civics lessons around here, we apparently have to also do economics.
Math. So we have to do straight math. It ain't economics. It's straight math.
Well,
now, maybe math probably was not his core subject when he went to college. But the problem is, my grandchild knows more. If I give him a nickel or a dime, he's going to take, I want Roosevelt.
That's how he knows me.
He doesn't know about money.
What I love about that whole conversation is when we explained how Affordable Care Act came into being and worked.
Didn't have anything to say.
All the others. There's a communist in the White House.
Well, that's what I said. You were trying very patiently.
I was trying.
That's because you got 15 kids. You were so patient. This is the way that you have to think about this.
I was going
and
to
sing
the song from Schoolhouse Rock. I'm just a bill. But I decided not to insult. But that's
the problem is, though. Hey, I have patients in the world, too. I taught school 9.5 years. But you know,
sometimes
I can look at some of the kids in the class, and you know, it came across. You could see it on their face. Their expression lit up. Man, I get this.
Yeah.
He still don't get it.
Yeah.
So I said, he needs to stay after school.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Like in every track, there's a physicist. And the doctor, and then there's an auto mechanic,
and a terrorist,
woodworking, and then you know, the guy works pumps gas, I guess. So yeah,
but that's good too. The problem is though, they don't understand, and you know they hate that when you say they're racist. I don't care if he's black, white, or green. You're racist. This whole thing. We read the article from Lee Atwater.
Yeah.
It was set up this way.
We didn't say they're racist.
They said they're racist. That's right.
Oh my
it's
goodness.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. And also, I don't remember the last time, you know, Bush or
our great father upon Mount Olympus, Reagan, or somebody went in office, that they started going, that darn Kenyan terrorist, illegal, bracket, you know. It's amazing what they called upon.
They talked about Bush just like that. No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They never said he was illegitimate.
I remember all those cartoons with him, like, with watermelons and big...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
No, I mean,
I remember him as a rodeo clown.
You know, call it what it is.
So the thing is that, but if you can't convince the person in front of you, you know, you've seen the commercial with the, I think it was AT&T,
mm-hmm.
where the zombie comes in. He says, how about these rates? He says, I can have these rates for life. He said, well, suppose I was like a zombie. Now, let's don't be calling people names now. And his ear falls off. You know, yeah, like a zombie. I mean, we're looking at these people. We're going to tell them, no, it's not that way. And they still, but they don't reason. So you were trying to reason with them.
I know.
There's no reasoning.
I know. And this does get us back to the, you know, I like science and facts. Remember we had that conversation. If you look at cognitive science and all the testing they've done, it is a fact that the higher your IQ, the more liberal you are.
That's right.
The lower your IQ, the more conservative you are. So that's a sad truth.
I
guess I was beating my head against the wall there, but I tried. I tried valiantly.
Now look, if he's in school. With you as a teacher, what do you do to him?
Well, there's a grading system. Some people pass, some people do not.
Oh. But you don't say, look, let me try to explain. Oh, I have a piece here, and I forgot I had it. Only at water. We got about another minute here. Let's play this. Let me play this.
We started out in 1954 by saying, by 1968, you can say, that hurts your backfire, so you say stuff like force plus and states' rights and all that stuff. If it is getting that abstract and that coded, that we're doing away with the racial problem one way or the other, you follow me? Because obviously sitting around saying we want to cut taxes, we want to cut this, and we want is much more abstract than even the busing thing. And a hell of a lot more abstract than...
So I forgot I had the cut of what I read.
Played that the whole time.
I forgot.
Anyway,
I forgot I had the cut.
In case you don't get it, you know that the Republican Party says things like beep.
Right.
We mean beep.
Okay. What the hell? What the hell?
No.
Unbelievable.
We play the real thing, but it's just so vulgar these days. And
oh yeah.
The rest of the country's grown up, but you got to think. These are the quote-unquote intellectuals behind the power in their policy.
Intellectuals.
These guys, in their own words, which we play here on the show to show you, you know, we're trying to educate, but in their own words, they say, we don't like the N-word.
Right.
We hate the N-word.
Right.
We're going to try and stop them at every possibility, and we're going to call it something else.
We're going to call it something else.
Because people have been reporting this
for us,
the N-word.
Busty.
You know, and it doesn't sound good on a campaign ad when you go,
Right.
You know, and then on top of that, here I turn to my other friend. Hey, do you want everybody to vote? No, I don't want everybody to vote. I don't want anyone to vote. Cut the poor out. Cut the blacks out. Cut the this. You know. So, but when you listen to them in their own words, it's so damning. It's unbelievable.
It's
we don't have any work to do. But the thing is, people don't listen to them. Just like
well,
the gentleman that was on
we
the
are lucky.
Okay.
And we're gonna say goodbye. So this week, we'll be on for a repeat show. Matter of fact, might repeat this show. Have a great weekend wherever you are.
And I want to say, peace with the Pope. He's hanging
out. Oh, yeah, that's right. South Korea, have peace. You guys, South Korea, hello. And everywhere in England, France. Okay. I'm going to say how lucky you are.
When the news is all bad, when you're sour and blue, when you start to get mad, you should do what I do. Tell yourself how lucky you are. When the face are unkind. When your life's going wrong, when you're limping along and get kicked from behind, tell yourself how lucky you are. Why the cry, a cloudy sky, an empty purse, a crazy universe? My philosophy is simply things could be worse. So be happy you're here. Think of life as a thrill. And if worse comes to worse, as we all know it will, thank your lucky star you got this far. And tell yourself how lucky you are. How lucky, how lucky, how lucky, how lucky, how lucky, how lucky, how lucky you are.